You can bet I'm doing numbers and my stock is going up cause of my hunger. When you see me in my zone, I'm locked in, not clocked in, I'm never boxed in. When you see me in my, when I'm in my zone, I feel like I'm alone, I feel like I'm unknown to the world that's full of clones. My original.
What's happening, ladies and gentlemen? I am the one your baby mama said I was just a friend, Mr. GQ.
And of course, I am your boy DJ Micah B. No time for long introductions. Let's get it.
Make it do what it do with the limited sources you have. Your dream is still a fine motivation in you and inspire.
Oh, yes, Lord, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Season 4, Episode 2.
Dose.
We are not live on location this go round. We are back in our regularly scheduled location.
Ah, yeah, the man cave.
The cave, the bat cave.
Yes.
We are in that thing. Cheers to you.
Cheers. I think that's the fastest drink we've ever had on this show.
It's because we've been pre-gaming this whole time. Been a long fucking week.
Well, this margarita is hitting too.
Yes. That blood orange hibiscus is the one.
Yes, sir.
So, we in that thing. Season 4, Episode 1, live on location, went really well. First time we took everything on the road with us. Yes, there was a little back and forth with the audio. And according to some of our listeners, there was also some great commentary on the back and forth.
I think that was the first time we ever had a debate.
Right?
And the debate ended like, well, we're both being dumb because neither one of us are arguing the same point.
Right. So now we figured out after the fact that we were literally arguing for our points were valid for the wrong argument. That's what it was. But it's okay. It made for some good entertainment. That's for sure.
It definitely did.
Because, boy, we got some comments back on that.
And, boy, was I laughing when we played it back.
I've probably listened to the show now at least twice back and that shit gets funnier every time. Like, that might be one of the funniest episodes we've ever done.
Yeah. Like, shout out to your dad for that one.
That was unintentionally funny.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But, hey, that's why going unscripted has its perks.
It does.
Because that shit came out of nowhere.
When you got two knowledgeable people, going unscripted is fun to do. When you have two idiots that don't know what they're talking about, it doesn't work.
And you can tell.
And you can tell. So, I loved it.
So you said you had something hot for us right off the rip. So let's hit these quick takes. See what
quick
you got.
Takes. All right. So here we go. I'm going to just do, I think 7 is a nice round figure.
I'm with 7 that Michael Vick number. So right.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. So let's start with question number 1. You could have any quarterback for the rest of the season in the NFL. Who are you taking?
Patrick Mahomes.
Oh, that was a little easy.
Too easy.
NFL MVP right now.
NFL MVP right now?
Right now.
Mm. Still taking Patrick Mahomes.
Mm. You know what? Let me ask you a question where you won't take Patrick Mahomes.
All right.
All right. So here we go. Any play besides the quarterback that you'd want on your team to finish the season in the playoffs?
Nick Chubb.
Okay. Best cornerback.
Best corner?
Corner.
The Sauce Man.
Okay, the rookie.
Mr. Gardner, okay. The Sauce Man.
Hey.
It's hard to deny. It just is. It's hard to deny.
It's hard
now,
to deny.
Now, there's an argument for a couple other guys. I'm not going to lie to you. But the Sauce Man is doing a damn thing. Like, I got to give him his props. Like, I love what Patrick Surtain is also doing this year.
Okay.
Like, I also love, I forgot his name. Green Bay's corner. I'll remember his name eventually. But there's quite a few because I think this is a down year for Jalen Ramsey. He hasn't been what we're accustomed to seeing.
Okay.
We already know how you and I feel about Mr. Diggs. So, like I said, Sauce Man.
Okay. Even though it's quick takes and I'm focusing more on the NFL because it's in the middle of the NFL season, let's get some NBA talk in the quick takes.
All right, what you got?
Best player in the NBA as of right now.
I'm sticking with Giannis like I've been saying all year.
As you should. As you should. You can have any big man other than Joel Embiid and Nikola Jokic to play post. Who you taking?
Any big man.
Any big man besides them two.
Then I'm still taking Giannis.
Okay.
That's true. That's
Giannis plays small forward through center. That's okay with it.
Yeah, that's easy.
I'm okay with that. And last but not least, give me your top 3 NBA MVPs to this point of the season.
Jason Tatum, Giannis, and surprisingly, I'm going to say Jokic.
Wow.
I had to go. Look, you got to watch the tape. The tape don't lie. That's all I'm going to say about that. We'll discuss that in a couple segments from now. But like I said, if you watch the tape don't lie.
I agree with 2 out of 3, but okay.
I know you don't agree with Jokic. I already know that, but that's okay.
I agree with 2 out of 3. Yeah, I don't agree. I don't agree with Jokic. That's, but we'll get there. We'll get there.
It won't pop up a heated debate, but
we'll get there.
Just know there's
like it's still early in the season, so it's too early for a debate.
Yeah, that's why I'm saying what I'm saying. We're only, 20 something games into the fucking season right now? Like, talk to me after the All-Star break. I'm telling you right now, Jokic won't be in there.
Oh, you know what I should have asked you? Let's do an honorable mention.
All right.
If we were halfway through the season right now, not even if, predict halfway through the season, who will be your All-Star game captains?
All-Star game captains.
You get one pick from the East and one from the West.
Damn, do I have to get one from the East and the West? Because honestly,
because it's the person with the most votes in the East.
Then give me, I'm going to go out on a limb for this, but give me Jason Tatum.
Okay.
And Devin Booker.
Wow. Two guys I wasn't going to name. Okay. I'm good with that, though. I am definitely good with that. All right. There you go. There's your quick take segment. Well, we got a lot to pluck away later on in the show with that.
Absolutely. Sure do. So let's talk about these. Let's get our little recap on our fantasy games.
Okay.
So I guess I'll get it started real quick. So,
all right.
Our money league was insane. I had no idea. I actually didn't think I was going to win at first. I'm not even going to say a lot to you. I was in a rough position.
Okay.
And then all of a sudden, this guy, his name is Miles Sanders, decided to ball the fuck out against Green Bay. And that tipped the scales. But that's not the reason. The nail in the coffin was the combination of Zay Jones and Rashad White.
All right.
30 points from Zay Jones, and I got 19 from Rashad White. I put up 160 points. I was only projected 127.
Okay, all right.
I won 160 to 111.
So
that was my big one. That's what kept me in first because the guy – actually, so that's what put me back in first. I was tied for first. I played the guy I was tied for first with, and I beat the hell out of him. To retake first.
Damn.
I have the best record. There's the three of us that have the same record, but I've been in first place majority of this season. I'm still, based on total points scored, in first place. The only difference is one of the guys that I'm tied with us at 8-4 is where we are. He's on a 4-game win streak. Now, I do not play him. I play the commissioner this week. That should be interesting. He had to make some waiver moves because he had Devontae Foreman and James Conner, and they're both on bye weeks. So this one's going to be close. I'm projected 121 points. He's projected 119. He in the place of those two running backs, he actually took Zonovan Knight, and he also took Jamichael Hasty for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So that'll be interesting because I'm also pretty sure that Travis Etienne is going to play this week. So that might actually drop Jamichael Hasty's value, but we'll see. The reason I'm not projected as high as I should be is because San Francisco's defense took a bit of a dip because they're playing Miami this week, one of the highest octane offenses in football. So there's one. Other than that, everybody but my kicker is projected double digits. Mahomes is projected 25 against Cincinnati.
Mahomes always needs to be double digits.
Nick Chubb, Miles Sanders, Gabriel Davis, Donovan Peoples-Jones, Zay Jones, Pat Freiermuth, and Rashad White all predicted double digits. I have Raheem Mostert on the bench. I'm going to probably leave him there. I'm back and forth on the Michael Gallup one. I'm not sure yet. I don't know what I'm expecting from Michael Gallup because I thought by now he would be rounded back in the form, but it almost feels like Dallas is using him as an afterthought. And reason I say that is because I was listening to one of my favorite fantasy football podcasts, and that was actually the Fantasy Football Focus Show with Field Yates and Company.
Amazing show.
And so what they brought up a week ago was did Michael Gallup come back too early from the ACL injury? And I was like, it's possible. But he just posted his best fantasy game of the year just last week, as far as season high in targets and yards and catches. So I'm like, maybe he's going to round into form by the time the fantasy playoffs come around, which is probably the same time that a guy like maybe Donovan Peoples-Jones starts to fall off a cliff. Or maybe it's Zay Jones. But I actually, from all the reports I've read, they absolutely love Zay Jones in Jacksonville. Like, he is the bona fide number two. And I expect him to have a great game against the Detroit Lions this Sunday.
Donovan Peoples-Jones is in Cleveland?
Yes. He is Amari Cooper's. So when Amari Cooper's on the road, like he is this week, we know how he performs on the road.
I think his stock is going to go up a little bit more personally, just knowing that they're going from, what's the quarterback's name right now?
Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett. No knock on Jacoby Brissett. Jacoby Brissett obviously is a starting quarterback.
He finished his little starting tenure by beating the Buccaneers.
Yeah. He's going from Jacoby Brissett to Deshaun Watson, and if Deshaun Watson,
he's been practicing, so he's on pace to start this week against the Houston Texans. So
against the Texans, I think Donovan Peoples-Jones' stats should go up, bro. I do. I think the passing of. And I hope Nick Chubb doesn't – he's not going to suffer this week because they're going to try and ease Deshaun Watson back. But as they go along more, some of Nick Chubb's handoffs might decline some. But
– see, I'm of the thought process that I think maybe his passing game utilization may go up. Because Deshaun likes to throw the ball to his running backs too.
I would love for that to happen.
So the problem now becomes that Kareem Hunt would be all but diminished. Now, we'll save that for another episode. But I say that because I have and not to mention, at some point, David Njoku is going to come back, and we know how much Deshaun loves his tight ends.
Loves tight ends.
So I don't know where the value is going to drop. Maybe it doesn't. Maybe the offense as a whole just takes off, and it becomes more of a kind of a Chiefs-type thing. Like, you don't know who's going to go off on any given week type of thing. But we've got to see how Deshaun looks in his first game.
But that makes it harder on fantasy owners.
It does, but it makes it harder because the fantasy playoffs are around the corner. Now, a guy like Nick Chubb, I'm not concerned about.
Nick Chubb's going to get his touches.
He's the least of my concerns.
He's going to get
his. But it is your Amari Coopers, your David Njoku's, your Donovan Peoples-Joneses who I concern myself with.
And Deshaun ain't scared to throw the ball to other people than his number ones, bro. He will throw it.
Oh, we know that. Now, granted, he was blessed because he had DeAndre Hopkins for such a long time, but let's not forget that he did throw to his number twos a lot.
Yeah,
like, he threw to them a lot.
He went to Miami. I can't. Dredge from Houston.
Stills, not Kenny Stills, shit. He was throwing to Kenny Stills at one point though.
He was.
He always got hurt.
Yes.
He's like the fourth.
Will Fuller.
Will Fuller.
He used to use the hell out of Will Fuller when DeAndre Hopkins was on that team.
100%.
Will Fuller was getting Will points, Fuller was touchdowns,
the,
everything.
Will Fuller was the top-off guy.
Yeah.
Oh, and he was using your boy House.
He was.
I think he rocked number 11.
Yeah.
He was using the shot. House was the number three.
Deshaun uses – he just throws the ball around.
He throws the ball to who's open.
That's exactly what he did in college, by the way.
That's why I'm not concerned about Peoples-Jones is dropping considerably. I just don't know how it's going to go for this upcoming week.
I don't
– because it's his first game back, so I don't want to –
yeah.
I don't want to have my hopes up too high because I'm like, it's his first game back. Now, granted, there's a lot of emotion. Speaking of emotion, I should have sent this article to you, but did you see any of the stuff that ESPN posted about this upcoming game?
No.
10 of the victims will be in attendance.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
So, I'm not going to deep dive into that. What I am going to simply say is you settled, you did what you did as far as that goes. I don't fully understand why. I'm being honest. Like, I just don't. And I'm not in their shoes. So I don't understand why. I'm treading softly when I say what I'm saying, but the settlements happened, the payments were paid out, and now I did read that the attorney Busby, whatever the fuck his name
Busby,
is,
yeah,
was saying like, you know, the victims wanted to basically show that they shouldn't be forgotten. That's essentially what I gathered from that was what was the quote, the direct quote in the article. So I'm like, okay, I understand that.
But
you're going to a nationally televised football game. So here's my thing. Actually, no, it's not nationally televised. It's only locally televised they purposely made sure. So maybe the local TV cameras will turn the cameras towards him. Maybe they won't. Depends on how the NFL wants to play that game.
NFL is still really in control of it. So they
I feel like that's a very slippery slope. And it's already enough that the NFL wanted to get away from the situation.
But you know what?
They didn't want Deshaun to play at all this year.
But you know what? I'm not before I say this, I'm not comparing what Deshaun did to what happened with Michael Vick. But PETA PETA used to pack the stands after Michael Vick came back and went to the Eagles.
Yeah.
They packed the shit out the stands. And the camera for local would always pan on them.
But see, the problem I have with the Michael Vick situation, and Michael Vick went to jail. He served his time. Leave that man alone. That man literally went to jail for fighting dogs. Like, I don't need an organization like PETA to be harassing this dude after the fact. The man went to jail. The man was a multi-million-dollar athlete who went to jail.
Lost hell of endorsements.
Lost a hell of a lot of money.
Paid his debt.
What more do you want this man to do? Like, I understand groups like PETA, like your environmental conservation, like you people that love what they love. I understand you guys are passionate, but when an individual has committed a crime or whatever, however you want to look at it, and they've served their time and they've lost a lot or damn near everything, you have to understand, Michael Vick had hit the reset button. Michael Vick had to earn everything back.
Started all the way over.
And to be honest, if Chip Kelly is not in Philly, I don't even know if Michael Vick ends up in Philly. Like, I really don't. Because, now, mind you, the biggest reason is because Kevin Cobb is fucking trash. But that's neither here nor there. But
I haven't heard that name in so long.
Kevin Cobb almost ended DeSean Jackson's career with that throw over across the middle on that fucking slant. But again, I digress. So, yeah, here's my thing with Deshaun. Ladies, you know, if that's how you feel, do your thing. I'm going to leave it at that. Do your thing. He was suspended. He lost a lot of money. Sort of, kind of, because, well, not really. Because he hasn't even started his new contract yet.
Yeah.
But he settled, and y'all got compensated.
That's where I was going to go next.
Because like, that's my thing, like, after you
settled,
when you settle, you've decided that you didn't want to fight the fight anymore.
Exactly.
So
when you settle, in your eyes, this whole it should be this is over with.
That's the way any other normal case goes. When you settle, that's it. There's usually a conversation that happens where it's like, hey, we've settled. There's no more no more discussion. But
it's still up to the court of public opinion whether he's guilty.
It is, but no one cares about the court of public
opinion.
Nobody. I damn sure don't.
Me either.
You have to remember who their attorney is too. He is, everything he does is high profile, this, that, and the other. So, you know. Anyway, we have spent way too much time on that particular thing. Back to the regularly scheduled program. As far as our other fantasy matchups go, I mean, let's see. I went 1-3 in fantasy. I lost in the NBA. I lost in our league, and I lost in CJ's league. I only won in my money league this week.
I went 3-0. I won in gentlemen's league. I won in Bones league, which is CJ's league, and I won in our basketball league. I went 3-0 this week. It was. And, you know, we me and you all week have been making moves on waivers, so you know who's trying to win these leagues.
In the last 2 weeks, I have lost to DJ Micah B by small margins. One in the NFL, in our league, and then one in the NBA.
It's close, man. It's very close.
I love it. I'm not even going to sit here and bullshit with you. I love it. Do I like losing? Fuck no. But I love it because it just makes me have to put that much more thought process into a few things, and I'm cool with that. I have zero problem in Gentlemen's League that I'm currently number 7 overall because it gives me a chance to hit the reset button, change my draft strategy. It gives me a chance to reboot because I've been on top for so long.
Yeah, like, which is crazy.
Like, I'm not entirely mad about it.
But you know, at the end of the day, you can everybody's making the playoffs, so you could still essentially regroup your team through waivers.
My team isn't bad. It's just it's kind of how fantasy works.
It's up and down.
It's a concept of matchups.
Yeah.
Normally, I draft for the playoffs. My team is slowly but surely rounding into form, yes, but I'm still in a very precarious situation because I will play somebody like Jared in the first round or Herb in the first round, depending on how everything shakes out.
For me, I think this year I went more with when I was looking at drafting, especially in our league, I was looking for teams – other than Josh Allen. I just drafted Josh Allen right off the rip. Mm-hmm. I just knew Josh Allen was going to have a phenomenal season. This is like whenever you took Steph Curry in the NBA. So
MVP year.
Yeah. So I just knew Josh Allen after the way things ended last year, they were going to come back with a vengeance. I looked at teams that had mid-tier schedules.
Yeah.
Normally, I look at teams who have the easiest schedules and the hardest schedules and I stay away from them players. But I look for teams that have mid-tier schedules because the teams that get to the playoffs in advance are going to have the hardest schedules basically all the time.
Well, this is a strange year as far as NFL strength of schedules go, too.
Yeah, because the NFC East decided to show the hell up.
Yeah, well, and then a team like the Miami Dolphins who have a top 10 strength of schedule are damn near sitting at the top of the division.
Matter of fact, both East divisions decided to show the hell up
this year.
That's
true. Both. AFC and NFC. So my strategy that I went with this year, which isn't far off from my normal schedule, I mean my normal strategy anyway, was teams that either have high-scoring offenses or players who are just consistent. Like, they may not blow up all the time, like a Gabe Davis. But he came on strong last year. So I was like, all right, I'm gonna draft Gabe Davis. Like, I targeted Gabe Davis. I targeted him.
And it paid dividends when he came off injury.
I targeted in all three of my fantasy leagues. I'm not even going to sit here and bullshit with you. Is it bitten me in the butt a few times? Yeah.
It's cool. But you know what, though? Solid number twos produce.
In fantasy.
A lot more than people think. Because your number twos are normally... who score the touchdowns? Because everybody is focused on the number one. Somebody like Gabe Davis, I think Gabe Davis have
he had a 90 something yard touchdown. It was like a 96 yard touchdown. Shit was beautiful.
I think Gabe Davis has like two or three multiple touchdown games this year. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, no, and he does. But here's the crazy thing. Stephon Diggs is number one.
And Stephon Diggs still get his numbers, too.
Exactly. Kind of like what's going on in Miami. You got Jalen Waddle and Tyreek Hill just doing it. You know what I'm saying?
I'm reaping benefits.
So, now next year, it's funny. I was actually, me and DJ Mike be talking about this off air like a couple days ago. But I said, I already have an idea of what I'm going to do next year as far as to make some adjustments for our league.
Yeah.
And I realized it when I was looking at the rosters, like the way our starters go.
Uh-huh.
And I was like, I finally figured out where I fucked up. We only start one running back. Like, actually start a running back.
Yes.
I was like, how did I fuck that up?
But
I think it's because I basically went with two flex spots, which gives you the flexibility to start three running backs, but we're not starting two running backs.
Yeah.
Like, in your normal. So here's... live on the air, we're going to talk about this.
Or at least two backs, period.
So what I'm looking at for next year is obviously you're going to start a quarterback. But what I'm actually looking at doing is I think I'm going to do away with the second flex spot. Because I actually contemplated something ridiculous.
No, you're not getting rid of a second wide receiver.
No. It's funny you bring that up, though. I thought about quarterback, three receivers, two running backs, tight end, and flex.
Now you talking my language.
Still keeping two defenses and a defensive player. I'm not bringing the kicker back. The kicker's not coming back. I'm telling you.
No, I prefer a defensive player than a kicker.
So, yeah, I do too.
Except in CJ's league.
So that's what I'm thinking is a quarterback, three receivers, two running backs, tight end, and a flex. And I think the flex is going to be – I think I'll still keep it receiver, running back, tight end. I think I'll do that.
Yeah, don't make it a super.
No, hell no. I'm not. I'm done with the super flex. Unless we, as a league, decide to do two quarterbacks, I'm not doing it. That's the only – I'll never do a super flex ever again. But I will do two quarterbacks if the league is down with it. I will do that if they're down. But I'm not pretty sure none of us are down with that.
No.
Not the type of players that we have in the league.
I mean, you know why I think nobody's down with that? I think it's plausible – because you can have three receivers on the field or you can have two running backs on the field.
And that's the thing. So what do you think about that? Having three receivers starting.
I'm for it.
And then you have two running backs. Obviously, there's no need to have more than one tight end starting at any point in time.
Yeah,
like,
never, man. Because you're just wasting everybody's time.
But I still love the idea of the two defenses. I don't even know what made me think that was such a good idea, but something – well, I would never have started two defenses if I didn't make the defense a viable player. As far as your three and outs, as far as your fourth down stops. Like,
yes.
You know, if I didn't make the defense into a player.
I don't, you know what?
And I think that's the main reason why is because of the scoring in Yahoo, I was able to turn the defense into a viable position.
Your defense can be actually the deciding factor of you winning or losing a game.
Because by having two defenses and a defensive player, I officially have no need for a kicker whatsoever.
Exactly, because defenses score.
They do. And defensive players can do what defensive players
do.
And I'm sitting here,
and I'm still standing by it. I told y'all before the season started, and I told y'all after the season started, and you repeated over and over again the words that came out of my mouth. I'm riding with Carolina, and they ain't let me down yet. I don't think Carolina has scored under 18 points in fantasy all year in our league. Every week I look, I don't even look for Carolina no more. I was like, man, I know they scored.
I'm not even going to bullshit with you. I rode with Denver all year. Denver's been my defense.
Yeah.
Denver and Minnesota. This week is Minnesota, and it's the Commanders.
You dropped Denver?
No. Fuck no.
You got him on the bench.
Yes.
Okay.
100%. I'm probably the only roster carrying three defenses.
I think I got Carolina and Miami. I got Carolina and Miami.
Yeah. No, I said I'm probably the only team carrying three.
No, I think I got three defenses.
Let's find out.
I think I do.
You do. New York, Carolina. Yeah. You actually have New York and Miami starting this week and Carolina on bye week.
Yeah. That's my bye. I got three defenses.
And you actually have two defensive players. I only have one. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I do have two defensive players. I got Devin White and
I have Roquan Smith. I don't need another defensive player.
Is it Leighton Vander Esch?
You do, yeah. Yeah.
Well, I just picked up Leighton Vander Esch because Devin White has been having an okay season. But I picked up Leighton Vander Esch because I forgot who my other defensive player was and he wasn't balling. And
I had started with Myles Garrett and Myles Garrett just wasn't doing I really, really wanted Myles Garrett to be the defensive player of the year. I really did. I thought he was going to do everything to do that, and that's not what happened.
Yeah, so, I picked up Leighton Vander Esch because I know they're playing against the Texans. I was like, maybe he'll have a pretty good game just because they're playing against – did they play against Houston this week? Or is it next week? No, Houston plays Cleveland this week, so it's next week.
Yeah.
So, I'm going to probably – you know what I'm saying? I'm going to probably just do what you do and stream a defensive player for the rest of the season. I mean, you stream defenses, but I think I'm going to stream a defensive player if I don't like the matchup against
I stream
Devin
defenses
White.
If when I don't have, like, the top defenses.
Yeah.
It's easier to not put a focus on the defenses.
It is. Because you can basically pick defenses on matchups.
Solely based on matchups.
Yeah.
And that can it come back to bite you? Yeah. But if you've got like Buffalo, New England,
Miami.
San Francisco, Miami, Carolina, Washington, Dallas, those are solid defenses.
The top 10 defenses, you ain't never got to worry about it. They're going to put up top 10 points.
You could even argue for Pittsburgh being in there despite, you know, however you want to look at it.
Well,
so,
you could argue Pittsburgh just because they get turnovers. So I mean, yeah.
So defenses are easy, in my opinion. Now
it is.
They're easy to a point
because especially in an 8-man league, it's
sometimes very easy. Sometimes you can stream a defense and them motherfuckers get exposed.
Well, that's where it comes in with your knowledge about matchups.
True. Well, it depends. Sometimes it's just your Sunday.
It is.
Or your Thursday.
It is.
However you want to look at it. So.
Out of the defenses I've had and I played, I don't think I've gotten less than 35 points on any given week from my defenses, which is very, very big time because people be like, you drafted your defense. I think I started drafting my defense in like the 7th round and people were like, that's too high. And I'm like, I drafted Miami. So
I started drafting my defenses in our league typically around 9 or 10.
You know,
that's assuming that I have my roster the way I want it.
Maybe you should have let CJ know that because I don't know what the hell CJ was doing.
We got some – there's some moves happening. So what do you – I'm going to ask you because you're in this league. What do you think is better, two defenses and a defensive player or one defense and two defensive players?
I would say for competitive reasons because everybody's not like us.
Yeah.
Two defenses – and a defensive player. Yeah.
No, I agree too. I just wanted to hear somebody else is in the league just because we've been in the same league for so long.
Yeah.
So
I think now in a money league, I would probably stream two defensive players on the defense because if you're in a money league, that means you're very, very invested. A league like ours where there's no money, but it's just nothing but respect, a lot of people just watch the game and they know they're offensive players. Because that's what fantasy focused on for so long.
So live on the air, let me ask you a different question. We've been in this league for a very long time.
Uh-huh.
How would you rate myself as a commissioner? Like dead ass. Like
as a commissioner?
Good. Like yeah, no, dead ass. Yeah, as running this league. Like,
on a scale of what?
However you want to rate it. Looking at the beginning of how we started to now.
I think as a commissioner, you're A+, and let me tell you, and people might be like, oh, I'm just saying that. But the reason why I think you're A+ is because every year you change something for the better. I remember when we first started off, we had one quarterback, two wide receivers, two running backs, flex. Boom. That's it.
Basic fantasy.
Basic fantasy.
One defense, one kicker.
Right. So, but as we went along in fantasy now, it was like, okay, maybe this guy has 3 catches all game for 30 yards. And normally, I think the normal scoring is what? Is 5 points for every 10 yards? Whatever the normal scoring is. But you as we went along, you factored in, is this catch for a first down? If it's 3 yards and it's a catch for a first down, it's a big play. Or if you know what I'm saying? So...
Well, I just dove into Yahoo scoring. I didn't even know some of this shit was an option.
So really, every year you're looking to add a real aspect to the game. Like, if you stay in standard scoring and on 3rd and 15, somebody gets a 40-yard pass, and it's a first down, right? A 30-yard pass plus a first down. That matters more than somebody catching a 3rd and 1 and getting a 1st down. And you found a way to change that because what you do, okay, look, you get how many of a points per yard, plus you get this many points for your 1st down. And you made the fantasy league look how important it is to people that actually view the game of football. Like, okay, you caught a 15-yard pass on 3rd and 30. It's not a 1st down. You caught a 15-yard pass, though.
Yeah.
But congratulations to you. But if you catch, but now if you catch a 15-yard pass on 3rd and 8 and get the 1st down and keep the ball, that's a little bit different.
Like, for some weird reason, it made sense to award 1st down catches and rushes. I don't even know why. I was like, because maybe it's, I guess because of how much football we watch, and it's like all of a sudden it's 3rd and 11, and fucking Josh Allen or Patrick Mahomes runs for the 1st down. That's a big fucking play.
It is.
So in my mind, I'm like, okay, how can I reward a big play without like changing the game too much?
Yep.
But the fact that there is an option for me to give rushing and passing or receiving first downs, I was like, bet. And I can assign a value to it. Now, mind you, in our league, I believe it's a half a point.
Yeah.
Nothing major.
Nothing too crazy.
But it adds up.
It does.
Because imagine if in 2011, you had a guy like Julian Edelman on your team. He catches quite a few third and long, third and short for first downs, right?
What about Adrian Peterson?
Yeah, prime? Like, but so you see, or think about a guy like Megatron. So with the 40-yard bombs. So you know, imagine if we were playing fantasy way back when. So, but to kind of go off of what else you talked about when we talk about, you know, always looking for ways to do things better. You know how much I love defense, and that's why I was like, all right, how can I make defense viable?
Third down stops.
Because three and outs to me are a big deal. As a defense, if you get a three and out, you've done your job.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So why is that three and out not being rewarded? If you get a fourth down stop, why is that not rewarded?
Right.
Like, because those are big time stops. Honestly, if they had goal line stops as a fucking option, I'd have checked the bitch off.
Yes.
Because as a defense on fourth and one,
that's
fourth
your
and goal, excuse me, sorry, fourth and goal, and you get a stop, that's massive.
That's your
and,
stand.
And listen. As a commissioner, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm no cap, no bullshit. If I had that as an option, I would award the defense somewhere between 2 and 4 points.
Yes.
For a fourth and goal stop. Because yeah. You stopped a touchdown. I got to at least give you a half a touchdown value
touchdown
for that.
Touchdown and a turnover.
So I have to think of it like this. I have to give you either half the touchdown or half the field goal. I got to give you one of those. Like I do. I have to give you at least a field goal's worth of points in my mind for a fourth and goal because you stopped a team from scoring, whether it's 3 points or 6 points.
And you know, that's what I'm saying. You adjusted the scoring system for people that actually watch the game. You know what I'm saying? You did. And obviously, it's fantasy. You know what I'm saying? Obviously, if somebody get a fourth and goal in real life, they're not going to gain – they don't gain points.
But for the sake of fantasy
– but you're right.
It makes sense. But, like, because, I mean, how often do big-time 40-plus-yard plays happen in a football game?
Exactly.
And for me personally, as a coach, those are back-breaking-ass plays.
And you're right.
So
and,
it's like, fuck. You be on third and 11, fucking 30-some-odd yard. Like, I'm like, bruh, we did everything right. We got these motherfuckers third and long. And you just completed a massive fucking completion. Like, I'm mad. Why not reward it?
Right.
You know? Like, fuck it. So, it made sense. And now, I like the way our scoring is set up.
The scoring is
so
perfect.
So, now, the way the scoring is set up, the only problem I had was, I thought, is and I figured this shit out by just looking at something. Like, the roster's wrong. That's the last part I forgot. So, we are going to add that running back position next year.
Yep.
I'm going to cut the number of bench players. I'm going to cut it by one or two. I haven't decided yet.
Well, that's good.
Because the reasoning is mostly because I've been playing in this money league. So you have your starters and then you have five. You have five on the bench. Decisions to be made. You know, but now if you have more than five, I feel like there's more room for mistakes to be made. And I say mistakes as in you leave a guy on the bench that you should be starting or whatever the case might be. But because you have such a stacked roster, you're like leaving guys on the bench who shouldn't be on the bench.
Here's what I do believe you should cut down the number of maybe by two. What do we have? What do we have? Seven bench players right now?
Let's find out right now. We're live. Let's just get all this shit. Yeah. We have a lot. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. We have seven. So, yeah. Okay. I think cutting to five is smart.
I think cutting to five is good. And
I counted Darren Waller. My bad. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So, it is seven. Yeah. Because I did a lot. I think it's two IR slots. Because I'm not going to fault you for having two injured players.
Correct.
Because if you have a big-time guy get
injured.
That's
what I was going to say. I'm okay with five bench spots as long as we get to keep IR spots.
So I'm always gonna have two IR spots. Yeah. Like, if we cut down to five, I may consider a third IR spot just because shit happens.
And
I say consider
it. Let me tell you why cutting down to five is going to be amazing. Number one, it'll spread talent out more. And number two, it's going to show who the hell know what the hell they doing in here.
And that's truly what I'm thinking.
Because if you look at my roster right now, especially, it might be, I think in CJ's league, I have like six running backs. And they're all good running backs. And I'm just like, I'm not letting these dudes go because they're going to come back to bite me in the ass. Granted, CJ's construction of his league roster's starting spots sucks. So he might feel a certain way if he hears this. I don't care. But it does with that damn Superflex. And you know, the problem with the Superflex is everybody knows if you're not Nick Chubb or Christian McCaffrey, you're not going to outperform a quarterback on any given day. I don't give a damn if the quarterback is okay, well, maybe they'll outperform Mitchell Trubisky. But all a quarterback has to do is throw 250 with two touchdowns, and they're probably going to score more than any running back will for that week. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know. I think our league scoring is perfect. I don't play PPR. I plan on playing PPR next year because PPR is like the more – everybody keeps telling me PPR is the more consistent type of way to play fantasy. So I'm going to give it a try next year. But
man. Yeah, like – and look, I love standard scoring, but I do like PPR too. Like I love both. I love both formats. I understand why those who religiously play PPR, why they don't like standard. Because PPR, here's why. We've been playing this league for a long time, so I'm going to be brutally honest with you. I've been playing PPR and standard. I think PPR requires smarter draft strategy.
It does.
So I think playing PPR the last couple years for sure has altered the way I draft for standard, and it's caused why I'm not being as successful as I'm accustomed to being, except in CJ's league, because that shit was easy.
Yeah, well, but CJ's league's not that good.
But here's the thing with fantasy. There's no wrong format. You can play standard and be great.
Yeah.
You can play PPR and be great. The problem with me is I have not differentiated entirely.
Yes.
My PPR draft was great. My standard draft in our league was about a C. In CJ's league, it was an A.
Easily.
So that's where I fucked up with a few of my picks. Not all of them, just a few.
Granted, well, before, you know what I'm saying? Because before you get deep, granted, we have way more skilled fantasy players in our league than CJ does. So.
Yeah. But this year was a big time learning curve because I did something that I didn't think I would do. And I didn't do too much blending, which I think is the key. The only player that I really drafted across all formats was Gabe Davis.
Oh, I thought you was going to say Nick Chubb.
I only drafted Nick Chubb in two.
Okay.
Because I didn't get a chance to draft him in, I think, in our league. So, yeah.
Why not?
Because somebody else picked him up before me.
Yeah. But y'all on that damn snake style. I was like, okay, I'm about to mess y'all world up now.
Yeah. So, really and truly... Yeah, like Gabe Davis and Gabe Davis was my only one I drafted across all formats.
Granted, Gabe Davis is a beast in both.
He is. So, I mean, because I have in our league and CJ's league, I have Deebo Samuel. I was not going to be able to draft him in PPR. That was not going to happen. He was taken very early.
Yes.
I was surprised that I was able to get Patrick Mahomes, and I did. But what I did learn quickly is I've learned a few draft strategies. Mostly, well, one from being in this league as long as I have now and then just listening to other fantasy experts.
Mm-hmm.
And so what I've learned in PPR, and this is me giving you free chicken, as we like to say in the military, don't draft two quarterbacks in PPR. Know which quarterback you drafted. Know when that quarterback's bye week is. Plan for that bye week. That is all.
So you want to drop another player? Not the quarterback.
100%. Do not drop your... Whoever you draft is your... Outside of a fucking injury, do not drop that quarterback. Now, if you drafted outside of the top five, different story. Because here's why I say that. Mind you, in my PPR league, I drafted Patrick Mahomes and I drafted Aaron Rodgers. Do you know who my bye week quarterback was when Patrick Mahomes went down? It was not Aaron Rodgers. It was Jimmy Garoppolo. I picked him up in waivers. That's why. I wasted a draft spot on Aaron Rodgers when I could have drafted another player. I could have drafted an Isaiah Pacheco, you know, somebody random.
Ooh, Isaiah Pacheco. Like, you want to talk obviously, about a fantasy beast.
Well, you know, obviously we're playing the hindsight 2020 game, but there's two players. We talked about this off air, but I'll bring it up to bring it up now. Two players that I wish I would not have drafted this year in PPR was Michael Thomas and Aaron Rodgers, because I could have used those draft picks for other players.
Yes.
I am fortunate. I have a very balanced team in PPR. That's why I'm in first place. That's why I have the highest scoring output overall. I could have been that much better had I simply... Now, I drafted Patrick Mahomes because, one, he fell to me. I didn't push for Mahomes. He fell to me. He fell to me late. And I was like, shit.
And he's going
to
throw the damn ball.
Like, don't get me wrong. Say what you want about Patrick Mahomes, but I don't give a fuck what format you're playing in. Patrick Mahomes is Patrick Mahomes. And I was like, Now, he's not going to give you as much as like a Jalen Hurts, a Josh Allen, a Lamar Jackson with his legs. He's going to give you enough. Because here's the crazy thing. I read this today. Patrick Mahomes is the number one fantasy quarterback as far as passing and everything else goes. As far as rushing quarterbacks, he's number seven. He does not have near the rushing yards of a Justin Fields, a Kyler Murray, a Josh Allen, a Lamar Jackson, those types of guys. In PPR, dual threat quarterbacks are what you want. A guy like Colin Kaepernick now will be a fantasy monster. Like, those quarterbacks who can throw with rushing upside, a RG3 prior to injury will be a fantasy monster in PPR. Because in PPR, you want passing and rushing upside from your quarterback. From your running back, you want rushing and passing game upside, because that's what you're going to get. That's why a guy like Miles Sanders is actually very valuable, even though he doesn't always produce from a passing perspective. But when he does, he's great. So it just varies. So now I've figured out exactly how I'm going to draft next year, which means I'm going to make two less mistakes next year. And if I'm having as good of a season as I am now with the two draft picks I made, what am I going to do now?
Win money? The hell?
I'm going to target a rookie. I've never done that in PPR. I don't target rookies.
I always do that.
No, in PPR, I don't. There's too much money on the line. I don't got time for that. But if I would have targeted a guy like Chris Olave, just for the sake of discussion, just imagine that. If I don't draft Aaron Rodgers and I draft Chris Olave, on top of having Cooper Kupp, Gabriel Davis at the time, prior to injury, of course, I'm just thinking about where my team would be now. I don't think I'm 8-4. I think I'm 11-2, if I'm being honest. I think Chris Olave gives me two extra wins, because I had a couple of games this season where I barely lost, and it was because of production from receivers that were not Cooper Kupp, Gabriel Davis. So if I have a guy like Chris Olave, I think that's two wins.
Oh, man, this year coming up, I think I want to attempt a PPR league. Do I think I'm going to win? Hell no.
So listen, let's play this game. If I can't get you in this money league that I'm in, let's start one. Because apparently we have a lot of friends that rather play PPR than standard.
It's because they all trash your standard.
So I'm down to get a PPR league going.
I'm down for it too.
We can get a gentleman's talk PPR league going.
Ooh,
for next year.
That would be great. So I'm cool with that. If you're interested in the gentleman's talk PPR league, you know, hit us up.
100%. So guys like a Justin Heitzman who've been talking all that hot shit, hey, man, this is your chance to jump in this PPR league and show us what's up.
Chance Withers, I'm calling you out, too.
Hey, another one.
Another one. Just going to be
the question
victim.
Is, does a guy like Justin Molly play motherfucking fantasy? Because he talks about a lot of football. He's very knowledgeable about football, but does he play fantasy?
I don't know. I'm going to have to ask him.
Because that's another one. I'd be curious to see what a guy like John Nell would do, too.
I would, too. Yeah. We got some solid people.
Yeah,
like, we got some solid people. So.
I'm all for it. So, all right, let's get into this. Is crazy. Let's go into this college football thing.
Wait. While we're on fantasy, how about this one here? So, me and my counterpart over here, Mr. GQ, have decided to rename our NFL fantasy league names. I just want to know who you think has more creativity here. He obviously plays in like 25 different leagues. So, hey, listen.
I play in three, ho.
Okay.
Well, pick four if you count the NBA.
No, no, no. I said the NFL fantasy. So, just, you know what? Since we changed our names, I just want to hear. You got to tell us your two favorite out of the three. I know my favorite of yours all over. So, here we go. Let's do this. Y'all know every year I name something after the Houston Texans and whatever.
100%.
One year I had the Houston strain groins. Another year,
and
that
shit lived up to it. Half your team was injured.
One year I had Houston strain groins. Another year I had the Houston Star Traders. I forgot what
that.
I started off with this year.
I remember.
Oh,
that.
I had the Houston NDAs.
You did have the NDAs. That was fucking hilarious. That was fucking hilarious.
The Houston NDAs. And what was the other one? CJ's League. I can't think of CJ's on right now. It was Houston NDAs and
I think wasn't it Star Traders?
No. That was last year, 2 years ago. I had Houston NDAs and another one. Man, I can't think of what the other one was.
Happy endings.
Houston happy endings. That's it. Houston happy endings. So now, with the guy returning to the dog pound in Cleveland, I know he's not a Texan no more, but just because, in honor of my names being both named after Sir Deshaun Watson and Deshaun Watson's return to Houston, I have two new names for my teams. The very first one in CJ's league, the Bones League. My new name, in honor of Deshaun Watson coming back, Return to the Parlor.
Hey.
And of course, in the Gentleman's League, I think I like this one more, but you know, I do like Return to the Parlor. This one is called Back for Massages.
So, I love the names. They're creative as shit. When we change names, we don't even talk about it. They just magically fucking show
up. Yeah.
So, in my money league, so my original team name was Tua Girls in One Cup.
It's a beautiful.
It was one of my favorite fantasy names of all time.
That's why you use it again this year.
I did. And then I had to change it because Cup got hurt. So my money league's team current name is My Cup is Broken. My cup is broken, but my team is not. Understand that. But my cup is broken.
Man.
So then we go over to our leagues. So not even gonna lie to you. Because I'm having such a shit season, my current team name in the Gentleman's League is Absolute Hot Garbage. with the emoji of the sad face with a tear coming down. In CJ's league, your baby mama's favorite dilf.
It is. That's your introduction right there.
So, in case you've been following the show, you know how I get down. So, that's what it is. Your baby mama's favorite dilf just made sense. I don't know why. So, I bring that up to bring something else up. In my lady's phone, her name for me is your granny's favorite dilf because she heard it on the podcast.
Oh, man.
I fucking died. I was like, you really got your granny's favorite dilf is my fucking contact name in your phone. That was one of the funniest fucking things. That's just how you know what kind of significant other that I have.
Oh, God. Ashley. That's fucking hilarious. I don't care. That is freaking hilarious. You know, so what you got up next year? What we getting into?
College football playoff.
Okay.
It's that time.
Okay. All right. Okay.
So we're going to do this in reverse order. Starting at number 6, Alabama Crimson Tide.
Outside looking in.
Number 5, extreme outside looking in, Ohio State.
Kiss my ass.
Number 4, USC.
Okay.
Number 3, TCU. Number 2, Michigan Wolverines. And number 1, the team that's been getting disrespected all fucking year, the Georgia Bulldogs. Yeah,
like
I said
they didn't win. Like,
because the defending champs, in my opinion, should always be ranked number 1 until somebody fucking beats them. They're undefeated. Give me a reason why they shouldn't have been number 1 this year. Don't give me the strength of schedule shit. The defending champs have yet to lose a fucking game. Why the fuck haven't they been number one all year long?
Is this rhetorical or you actually want me to answer?
I'm asking
this?
A legitimate question. They because that bothers me. Because that's disrespectful to the champs.
They haven't been number one all year because they factor in computer generated shit and the AP poll shit and Associated Press.
Fuck all that.
Go by the name.
What's the eye test tell you?
Oh, the eye test. That just tells me they're the best team in America. But
let's play the eye test game. All right. Georgia returns their national championship winning quarterback. First and foremost, let's start with that. Let's just start with that off top. Yes, they had nine or 10 that were drafted. I got that. The underclassmen, though, that replaced them, who actually did play quite a bit last season, are very fucking good.
Yes.
You open up the season and you beat the brakes off of an Oregon team. Hindsight being 2020, that's a huge win for them.
Hindsight being 2020, they should have been number one as soon as the season started.
100%, because they should have been number one until somebody beat them.
Well, you know, here's my problem with college football. People rank based off the legacy of a school.
Oh, we know. Look at the number six team.
And I can't. Alabama's over some schools they probably shouldn't be over. Not only that,
do you put like Alabama over LSU right now? Like LSU, as of right now, because LSU did beat them and they were over Alabama, and now that LSU lost,
fuck no, I don't put.
I'm just asking. No, these are legitimate questions. None of this stuff is rhetorical for me. These are actual questions.
You know what?
Let's pull the fucking standings.
I tell you one team. I think, you know what? Now that I think about it, LSU should be ranked over Alabama, and so I don't give a damn what Nick Saban got to say.
Let's look at your top 10. All right, number 10 is K-State. Number 9 is Clemson. Number 8 is Penn State. Number 7 is Tennessee. Number 6 is Alabama. I'll make the argument. Last week I would have made the argument that Tennessee should be over Alabama.
Absolutely.
Until their starting quarterback tore his ACL.
Yeah.
That changed everything. Number 5 being Ohio State. I'm fine with Ohio State being over Alabama. LSU did drop to 14 because I didn't realize LSU did pick up their third loss.
Yeah.
So if you're looking at, let's play this game. Penn State, Clemson, K-State, Utah, Washington, Florida State, LSU, who are you putting over Alabama? Because you're looking at, okay, if you play the records game, Penn State's 10-2, Clemson's 10-2, K-State's 9-3, Utah's 9-3, Washington's 10-2. Strength of schedule alone, Washington ain't nowhere near. Florida State's 9-3, and LSU is 9-3.
Okay, how about this? How about this here? Okay? For the first time in my life, I think the AP got it right. They have got the right 6 teams. I forgot LSU lost this past week, else I'd have been like, no, they should have been higher. For the first time, I think they got the right 6 teams. I do. Not only do I think they got the right 6 teams, I think they got the right 4 teams in the playoff right now in the right fucking order.
100%.
I do.
I have no problem with the order. I really don't. I have no problem with the order. Michigan deserves to be number 2.
Yes.
They played Ohio State. It was number 2 versus number 3.
And they won.
They won handily. They did. Yeah. They won handily.
They won.
I have no problem
with it. For the second damn year in a row, damn you, Ohio State.
I have no problem with Ohio State still being in the mix because they should be. The question now becomes, let's play this devil's advocate game. If TCU somehow loses, do you put an Alabama in or do you put an Ohio State in?
You're joking, you put Ohio State in.
No, I agree with you, but think about who we're talking about.
I'm putting Ohio State in.
No, not us. Think about who's voting these motherfuckers in.
But it's the same motherfuckers that got Alabama behind Ohio State.
I'm just making sure. Yeah. Because, you know, they might do a last minute some jump shit.
You know what?
Because I think, and don't get me wrong, Bryce Young's going to be a high draft pick. He is. You don't need to Nash the college football playoff to bolster his stock. Now, do I think he's going to be a great NFL quarterback? No. No. I'm being honest because First thing, let's play, fuck that, let's play revisionist history. Name me the most successful current Alabama quarterback. You can't say Jalen Hurts because he went to Oklahoma. Whole different quarterback, whole different coach.
That's what I was strung up on right there.
He was fully unlocked by Lincoln Riley.
Didn't Tua went to Alabama?
He did.
So
is he the most successful Alabama quarterback? Like, I'm just asking a question.
Oh, I thought you're just asking the best. No, the most successful. The most right now in the NFL?
Sure. Is it Tua? Or is it Mac Jones? Mac Jones won more games than Tua last year.
I know, Mac Jones. Yeah.
Now, I'm
it's,
not.
It's a toss-up. It's a toss-up.
So, we know this. Alabama does not produce quarterbacks very often.
Yeah.
We just so happen to have three. Sort of three. Two and a half. Because I'll give the props that we did have Jalen Hurts, did play at Alabama, but he was unlocked by Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma. So, we'll play that
game. Yeah, because Nick Saban didn't know what the hell to do with him.
Yeah. So, we'll play that game. But again, I do not think Bryce Young is going to go. Like, if Houston drafts Bryce Young, I don't think
Bryce Young is better than either one of them.
I don't think Bryce Young is better than Ohio State's quarterback, C.J. Stroud.
Oh, that's a good point.
I don't. I damn sure don't. I think Stroud is a really good quarterback.
I didn't think you know what? You know what's one thing we're looking over here? The main thing we're looking over on why Alabama should not get in the college football playoff.
Quarterback over,
play? Huh?
Quarterback play?
No, not quarterback play. Oh, okay, I mean, kind of, but you know why they shouldn't get in over Ohio State if TCU loses? When they play Texas, Texas's quarterback.
Oh, Texas' starting quarterback got injured.
And they damn near would have lost that game.
That would have been their third loss.
And not only we're sitting here calling quarterbacks that are better, there's another one.
I don't think Texas quarterback is better than Bryce Young.
I don't know, man.
I won't agree with you on the
starting quarterback before he got hurt.
I'm looking at the current quarterback situation, I think C.J. Stroud is the number one quarterback coming out of this upcoming. If he opts out, I think C.J. Stroud. I'm still gonna keep Bryce Young in there.
I don't know.
I also make the argument for a guy like Bo Nix.
Oh yeah, Bo Nix is pretty good.
I like Spencer Rattler.
Okay.
I think he's doing good things. I really do. Is it Williams at USC right now? Yeah, Williams.
Williams.
Big fan. I was a big fan of him in Oklahoma, too.
I can't think of his first name.
I can't either.
And it's going to bother me.
It's bothering the shadow because I know it. I see his face earlier today. So I'm like, you know, and like I know there's somebody's looking at like North Carolina's quarterback and some other quarterbacks.
Yeah,
but I'm like.
Yeah. You always got the small school. Quarterback represented that you the just last, like look at his intangibles. Look,
the last time they talked about a North Carolina quarterback, it was Mitch Trubisky.
Well,
right, Mitch Trubisky.
Yes. Where
did he go to? He went. Yeah, he went to North Carolina. Yes. He went to. Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
So miss me with that
garbage.
But I think I think the college football playoff is right.
I don't mean to say garbage like he can't play, but he's just not as good as everybody.
I think this would have been a really good year for an expanded playoff. I think the current top six teams have been a really compelling college ball playoff.
So if you put six people in,
I don't like the expansion that they're talking about of going to like double damn near. I think double digits.
No, that's stupid. I think it's just. But I think cap it off at eight.
I'm fine with six.
I'm fine with six and letting the number one seed get a bye.
Well, if you're gonna do that, then you got to have an odd number. You got to go seven.
Okay.
Because you want six to play, five to advance, or four to advance. No, three to advance. Well, no, yeah, three to advance.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, like that. But the way college football works, that's not going to work because they want maximum games played. So if your number one team is all of a sudden not playing for a week, ratings drop. So we don't want that. So I'm cool with six. 1-6, 2-5, 3-4. I think that's solid. I have no problem with that. And like I said, given the current six teams now, I would be fine with it. I think it would come out very well. I think it would come out. You would have three of the highest. We're gonna say three of the highest televised games you would see, because given the order, I mean, let's just look at the games for a second. Like, let's just play this game for a second. You would have Alabama Georgia national championship rematch from last year. You would have Michigan Ohio State again. And then you would have USC and TCU. So you're talking about three First of all, you have the fact that you have Ohio State and Michigan playing for a second time in a season is huge. Then you have a national championship rematch from last year of Georgia-Alabama. That's massive for TV ratings, and I think USC and TCU could be a really good, compelling matchup. Like, I just really do. So, that's just me. I'm sure you agree, because just think about that for a second. I'm gonna say it one more time because I needed to resonate with everybody. We're talking still, you know, top six. So imagine this. Your rematch, you would have last year's national championship rematch. You would have Georgia versus Alabama. You would get Ohio State versus Michigan part two. And then you would get USC and TCU if you had six teams in the college football playoff. Tell me that wouldn't be three of the highest rating games you would ever see.
So if you do only six teams.
1-6, 2-5, 4-3.
But that leaves three teams. 1-6, 2-5, 4-3. That only leaves three teams in the next round.
Oh, poo.
That's what I'm saying. Somebody would.
So I guess you do need eight. Goddamn.
You need seven. Six. You need seven.
You need eight because they're not going to want a team to just sit there. So you want, I guess you want eight. I just really wish they could find a way to make it happen with six, but I understand what you're saying.
I had to think about it. I was like, wait, something's not. This is one of the things where sometimes you got to look at a visual. So you got your. So if you have your one, your six, your two, your five, your three, and your four. But if you give the number one overall a bye week, you're fine. Because that evens it out to four teams in the next round.
If you do seven? Or if you do six?
If you do six. I lied. Nope. You still got to do seven.
Five teams are playing.
Still got to do seven.
You have to do seven because now six teams are playing.
Yeah, you still got to do seven.
But they're not going to just let the number one team just sit there. Of course not. The NFL can get away with it. College, I don't think, can because college wants all the revenue.
Yeah, well, you got to make it eight.
You have to make it eight.
You have to make it eight because they're not going to agree to no damn bye week. We all know this. That's trash. that's kind of trash.
Yeah. So,
I mean, the only other way to do it is include a fifth team, if you were to actually give the number one overall seed a bye week, and the number one team draws the worst seed that wins. So,
yeah.
Or the worst seed left.
Pretty much. Yeah.
Yeah. But like you said. It's too much cachet in seeing the number one team play.
100%. And that's where it goes. Like, it's because you want to see the number one team play.
Yeah.
So having them sit out for a week or two, I think, would drop college football's ratings a little bit too much for their liking.
And I do believe sometimes you get caught. Sometimes you always got to remember in college, the number one team compared to the number eight team is not a It's not a competitive matchup. Even though you want to see the number one team play, sometimes it's not a competitive matchup.
100%. And that's true, because sometimes it looks more like to use a WWE term, it's like it's more of a squash match. You know, it's over before it starts.
But again, that's one of the beautiful things about the NFL playoffs as well, is that you can get upset on any given day, bro. It is not easy to win an NFL championship because 100%. It's a one and done.
Because stranger things have happened in the NFL.
I mean, we saw the Carolina Panthers be 6-11, make it to the playoffs, and knock somebody off.
Fuck what you heard. We saw the Seahawks do it against the Saints. The Marshawn Lynch run.
It said 7-9 Seahawks, yep.
Yeah, like, well, look, let's get a little more recent. We saw Seattle do it to Green Bay.
Oh, yeah.
That's the game. Yeah, when me and Julius was knocked the fuck out, we woke up and all of a sudden Seattle made that shit into a game.
Yeah.
Like, that type of shit. Or, in your case, both Giants playoff runs. You know, like,
I wasn't gonna bring it up, but since you brought it up,
fuck that, don't bring it up.
We can also bring up the Joe Flacco Ravens one time for the one time.
We can. Doesn't hurt my feelings. I don't give a shit. Yeah, do I?
I didn't even think about hurting. I forgot they beat the Patriots. I wasn't even thinking about that. It just once you said the Giants, I thought about Joe Flacco and his magical run that got his trash ass paid.
Hey, highest paid at the time. Now his contract looks like a fucking afterthought.
Well.
Because compared to the quarterback contracts now.
Yeah.
So let's get into these NBA MVPs.
Okay.
So we're gonna deviate just a little bit. We'll come back to football because we got to talk power rankings still at some point too. But we're going to talk about NBA MVP. So let me give you the top 10 based on current metrics.
That's the ladder? Is this the ladder from NBA.com? Or,
no.
Okay.
No. It's from another source that I like to use. So currently number 10 is Ja Morant. Number 9, Kevin Durant. Number 8, Donovan Mitchell. Number 7, Tyrese Halliburton. Who, by the way, put up an absurd fucking stat that I've never heard in my entire basketball life. 40 fucking assists with 0 turnovers.
What? In how many games?
I don't know, but it's not the point. It's wow. It's that number for the turnovers that's fucking with me. Devin Booker at 6, Curry at 5, Giannis at 4, Jason Tatum at 3, Luka at 2, and Jokic at 1. I know. I know. I already know. You're going to say Jokic ain't got no business being number one. And I agree. He does not. Not number one. No, absolutely not.
I don't think Jokic is a top three MVP. I agreed with Jason Tatum. Just like you picked Jokic, Tatum, and
Giannis.
And Giannis.
Because I have a hard time buying into Luka. And that's just – I don't know why.
You know what? Maybe I'm being a prisoner of last year, but this is still the same Luka that led his team past the Suns, and he's having a stupid, absurd year right now.
Yeah, I mean, and his team is 10-10.
And not only that, I think Steph Curry should be ranked, even though the Warriors' record isn't that good.
11-11.
They're shooting up right now, and I think Steph Curry should be higher than Jokic as well. Okay. Some people might be like, oh, you're probably just fatigue of Jokic doing what he does. You know, you're
pretty. If you're the MVP, you're the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, Jokic was my number two last year, and I thought Joel Embiid should have won MVP.
Yeah, 100%. I think we had the same ones. Yeah.
So,
but right now Embiid's not even in this conversation because of injury.
If you'd asked me at the beginning of the season, I would have said Jason Tatum wouldn't be in my top three. Or my top five.
I would have said this. I would have said not top three. I would have said top five, because at some point Tatum was going to fully expand his game.
You're right, but you know, like you say, you're just ranking them based on it. The only reason why Tatum wouldn't have been in my top five is not because he wasn't playing that well, is because I know him and Jaylen Brown were going to split votes in like the first 10 games of the season. If it was just like, hey, MVP, we talking right now, and it's like, damn, well, Tatum and Brown both balling for the Celtics.
Yeah. And so, I could see the argument where Devin Booker should be in the top three. I could get down. I could understand it.
I get top five. I ain't going to say top
I said I can understand I it. I didn't say I can get down with it. I said I can understand it.
Chris Paul has obviously declined a little bit more. But he's Devin Booker but Devin Booker is obviously upgrading more.
Averaging 28 points a game. His team is 14-6.
Yep. And you know, people don't care about give a damn about defense no more, but I still do. And that's another reason why Jokic and Doncic be so hard to pick.
And that's why for me it's so shocking that Donovan Mitchell is in the top 10, but it's like he moved teams and it's like his production kind of went up. He's averaging 29 points a game.
His production went up because he's around better players that you can't
double team. For a team that's 13-8. We're talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers of all teams too. So it's like, it's a beautiful thing. Like, it is. No, I love the way the NBA is currently shaped out. I love that our star players are not all on one team. Well, all not on, like, three or four teams.
You know what? Let's put it like this. Your superstars, which I argue with people all the damn time, your superstars are probably your top 5 to 7 players in the NBA. It is not – your superstars cannot be 20 freaking players, bruh. I don't care what you say. If I ask you who the top 10 players are, you're going to kick out some of the people you call superstars. You know what I'm saying? So your superstars are your top. Would you still consider LeBron a superstar? I consider him
a superstar. Hell yeah, he's a superstar.
I consider LeBron the biggest draw in basketball.
Box office.
Would I still consider LeBron a top 7 NBA player? Yeah. I think I still consider him a top 7. Is he a top 7 MVP candidate? No, because the Lakers aren't that good.
No, as far as MVP, no. But we're talking, when you talk superstars?
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
Matter of fact, at this point, Anthony Davis has a higher claim to MVP than LeBron because they played better without LeBron. And I think that's just a factor of too many people on the Lakers team got to be ball dominant. So, I don't know. I already told y'all I would have considered trading LeBron, and people killed, you can't trade LeBron, this and that. Why not? The Lakers need to look to the future. Why not? I would have traded LeBron. Hell, I'd have traded all three of their asses if they gave me the option. We hitting the reset button. You brought Anthony Davis and LeBron James there to do what? Win a championship? They won a championship. All right, you did it. You had a chance to run it back twice now. You couldn't do it again.
100%. But you didn't have a healthy Anthony Davis when you tried to run it back. So, you know, let's play that factor into it.
Okay.
As well.
That's fine, but let's also play this. Anthony Davis probably has been healthy maybe twice in his career.
True.
For long stretches.
So, again, this falls back on, like you and I talked about way off air, about Rob Pelinka not building around LeBron.
Correct.
I said what I said.
He tried to build around Anthony Davis.
The formula to build around LeBron has been around since LeBron's Miami Heat days. It has. The fucking formula has been there. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. He went to Miami. You put him around shooters. He won championships. You went back to Cleveland. You put him around shooters. He won a championship. He went to L.A. He had decent shooters in the bubble and Anthony Davis. He won a fucking championship. What the fuck?
Simple. People thought that, and you know, I am not saying, and people always misquote, and I got a homeboy, Willie. I think you know Willie.
I know Willie.
Willie gets on my nerves for this. I was like, bro, y'all had a choice between Buddy Hield or Russell Westbrook. And he was like, are you serious? Michael, Buddy Hield ain't no starter in that. I said, but you're missing the bigger point.
Russ is a name. That is all.
And I hate to say it like that. But more importantly,
no, it's
Buddy
true
Hill,
because
Buddy Hield can shoot, bruh.
Even if you were getting triple-double Russell Westbrook, it would not have contributed to wins.
Damn triple-double. You could have got Russell Westbrook from OKC before triple-double.
It's,
him and LeBron can't exist because they both need to have the ball. And you know, here comes Eric. LeBron know how to play off the ball. No, he doesn't. Yes, he does. No, he doesn't. That's hence the reason why Miami lost the first time to the Mavericks because Dwayne Wade was controlling the ball and LeBron couldn't play off the ball. So what did D-Wade do? Look, take the ball, control the ball. I'm a guard. I know how to play off the ball. And D-Wade adjusted his whole game to learn how to play off the ball because he knew LeBron's ass couldn't do it.
D-Wade went back to his natural position, which is the two guard,
yes.
Not a one guard. That was the change.
Yep, and D-Wade knows how to play on and off the ball.
Because D-Wade is a two guard. He's not a one. He is a great spell one. Give the point guard a break, he's that guy.
Yeah.
But he should not be your – he never should be your predominant one.
Kind of like Donovan Mitchell.
Which is why I had no problem when we had like Mario Chalmers and all those guys because they're true ones. I'm not saying they were great ones. I just said they're true ones. That's all I said. Because I do think Mario Chalmers was a good one for that team.
I hate that dude with a passion.
Hey, don't you knock on my Jayhawks, goddammit.
I hate Mario Chalmers.
We beat Duke this year.
I hate Mario Chalmers.
Bowling.
I don't hate your team. I hate Mario Chalmers.
I know, because he hit that big ass shot. Big shot Chalmers. Anywho, also did Super Mario during the during that challenge that everybody was doing. What the fuck was it called? Damn, we was all doing it too. Harlem Shake.
Oh.
That
yeah.
Shit. The Miami Heat put on one of the best Harlem Shake fucking videos. Fucking Super Mario and fucking goddamn D-Wade and fucking and Bosh were fucking hilarious. LeBron too with the crown and all this. That shit was actually funny as shit. That was actually very and your boy Shane Battier. That was the most I'd ever seen Shane Battier come out of his shell.
I'm trying to tell you, that's the most character I've ever seen.
Like, so I enjoyed it. I enjoyed that. But anywho, back to our regularly scheduled program. So, we have talked about that. I want to bring up one random little thing before we get into these NFL power rankings. So, we sent this out in our little LXG group chat today. I just want to bring it to our listeners real quick. So, I have a little statement for you. So, since 1997, Jennifer Lopez has 6 rings and the Cowboys have 0.
What's up, Jonnell? Come talk to me, man.
Jennifer Lopez has 6 rings and the Cowboys have 0. Remember that, Cowboys fans. J-Lo got more rings than the Cowboys.
Is that Ben Affleck twice?
Ben Affleck twice. That's fucking Ben. As Ben Affleck, that's A-Rod. As fucking the singer, the Spanish singer. Yeah, god damn it.
Oh my god.
Oh, that's gonna fuck with me for a minute.
The King of Salsa, man. I can't think of his new name.
Oh my god. I'll remember it eventually. That's
Mark Anthony.
Yes, Mark Anthony. There we go. Yeah, yeah. So anywho, I just wanted to bring a little laughter into the fold there.
Jonnell's not gonna like that, but that's okay.
I don't give a fuck. So anyway, let's get into these power rankings. We're gonna start from the bottom, work our way to the top. All right, at number 32, it's pretty obvious. If you got the number one pick, you're the worst fucking team in the power rankings. The Houston Texans.
I'm very happy for that.
I know. So they lost to Miami 30-15. We know how that went down. Number 31 is the Denver Broncos. Broncos country. Ain't nobody riding.
Did you see that Sierra invited the Broncos team?
That is the trashiest clickbait article I've seen all fucking season. That is stupid as shit.
It's dumb.
I guarantee you most of that roster don't even live in Denver.
Exactly.
Like, when you're not fucking playing, you're probably taking your ass home.
Not only that, Russell Wilson is a starter. So the guys that are going to show up are the guys that play with him.
I mean, the defense probably didn't show up, but
I'm pretty sure the defense didn't show up.
I mean, unless Patrick Surtain showed up to, like, slap his ass or something, but, you know. But anywho, all right, at number 30, the Chicago Bears. No surprise, everything.
No.
Number 29, the Carolina Panthers, who did come off of a win against Denver, by the way, because Sam Darnold decided to give DJ Moore the ball. Number 28, the Pittsburgh Steelers.
That's a damn shame.
Number 27, the Los Angeles Rams. Boy, how the mighty have fallen. From Super Bowl champs to bottom of the NFL. And you know what sucks? They ain't got no first-round pick.
I tell you what, though. They're dealing with a whole bunch of nonsense.
You know what's crazy, though? So Aaron Donald is also out for Sunday's game. Check this shit out. There is a chance we don't see Matthew Stafford, Cooper Kupp, Aaron Donald, Jalen Ramsey for the rest of the season, and Sean McVay may actually be gone after this year because he has extremely lucrative TV deals sitting on the table, like Tony Romo number type deals. Imagine if Tony Romo and Sean McVay were on an NFL game together. The amount of knowledge being spewed out to us.
That would be amazing. But,
because with Tony Romo's predictability ability and Sean McVay's ridiculous memory, that shit would be beautiful for TV.
That's amazing, but Sean McVay should wait. He should coach.
Yeah. I agree with you. But, I mean, you also have, mind you, Allen Robinson's done for the year with the foot injury.
I ain't say coaching the Rams. I'm just saying he should stay and coach.
Well, that would require the Rams to either fire him or something would have to happen.
I mean, the NFL is known for training coaches.
Oh, I know. But so, would the Rams trade their – I mean, unless, I guess if you're giving up a couple first round – like, if the Texans gave up the number one overall pick,
no.
Would you do that? For a coach like Sean McVay, you wouldn't do that.
No.
Knowing that you have, like, the 8th or 9th pick?
I'm not giving up the first pick. I give up the 8th or 9th pick, not the first
Fair
pick.
Fair enough. I just thought I would ask, you know. I mean, if I could solidify my coach, I would solidify my coach.
I'm sitting here thinking right now for number one pick, if I would love for the Texans to not draft the freaking quarterback and actually build a fucking offensive line for once.
You would rather them spend – this is why I said what I said about that forfeited pick that the Miami Dolphins had. Number 25 is the Indianapolis Colts.
No shock there.
Number 24, New Orleans Saints.
No shock there.
Number 23, Jacksonville Jaguars.
No shock there.
Shock there, because I actually had Jacksonville winning the division. Number 22, the Green Bay Packers.
Yeah, but you know what I mean by no shock is as it goes on. Yeah.
Green Bay at 22, no shock for me. Detroit Lions at number 21. That one actually was crazy. I didn't think they would have the Packers and the Lions so close to each other. Cleveland Browns are number 20. Arizona Cardinals are at 19. I think I would switch those two.
I think the Browns are better than the Cardinals.
Yeah. I also think they're better than the Falcons, who the Falcons are at 18.
I think the Browns have just had a tougher schedule.
Yeah.
But also the Browns haven't played with a full team because obviously Deshaun Watson hasn't played. And
true.
Yeah. So like you just. The Browns, here's what I think. The Browns is going to end the year off with a better record than Atlanta will.
Yeah.
For shit sure. So,
number 17, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, by far the most dangerous number 17 team I've ever heard.
Yes.
The Los Angeles Chargers at number 16. Seattle Seahawks at number 15. Yeah. New England Patriots at number 14.
Seattle Seahawks is the apparent... It kind of like the Knicks. They're just mid.
Yeah, that's interesting. Like, them and the Patriots being so close to each other, they're actually. Because they're both mid.
They're just mid.
The Commanders, mid.
Yeah.
Commanders are at 13.
Wait.
I said what I said.
Wait. Hold on now. Hold up. Wait. The Commanders might be mid, and their quarterback might be average. But I tell you one thing. The quarterback can win some fucking games.
Well, number 12 is the New York Giants.
Bullshit. We keep going.
Number 11 is the New York Jets.
I hate the damn Jets. I don't even hate the Jets. I hate CJ.
I didn't see that coming. I'm not even going to lie. Number 11 is... No, sorry. Wait, hold the phone. Number 11 is the Jets. Sorry. Number 10 are the Tennessee Titans. Eh. Hey, that's about right. We kind of said that last week. Between the Jets and the Ravens. We said that last week. The Ravens are number 9, by the way.
That's bullshit, and I bet in the Giants. That's bullshit.
Well, I'm saying as far as when we looked at the top 10, how we were kind of moving some shit around.
But I also had the Giants over the Ravens last week, too.
Number 8, Cincinnati Bengals.
Cincinnati is starting to look like Cincinnati of old.
100%.
So I am okay. I'm okay with that. They're starting to look like Cincinnati of old.
Number 7 are the San Francisco 49ers. I can see that. They're starting to strike while the iron's hot.
We had
a massive drop. Number 6, Minnesota Vikings.
It's only because they lost.
I don't like that. Number 5 are the Dallas Cowboys.
Okay.
Number 4 are the Buffalo Bills.
Okay.
Number 3 are the Miami Dolphins. Number 2 are the Philadelphia Eagles. And number 1 is the Kansas City Chiefs.
Where's Minnesota again?
Minnesota is only... Minnesota Eels...
7th?
No, Minnesota is like... No. Oh, yeah. My bad. Yeah, Minnesota... No, Minnesota's 6th.
6th.
At 9-2.
And number 5?
Dallas at 8-3.
I know Dallas beat Minnesota.
No. They massacred.
Yeah.
They beat the shit out of them.
I know they beat Minnesota, so... Number 4 was 4 was who? Was it the Dolphins?
Yes. No, Dolphins are 3. The Bills are 4. That's a coin flip to me. Dolphins Bills, that's a coin flip. Either one of those teams could be in 4 or 3.
I get it. You know what I'm saying? I get it with Miami because their record says this and that and blah blah, and you know what I'm saying, but this is power rankings. I will say Miami kind of has the feel of a team right now, and Minnesota kind of does too, so I guess it's okay. But Miami kind of has the feel of a team where it's – they're just not – they're – you know the game or the commentary, contenders or pretenders. The regular season, Miami seems good, but going into the postseason, they're pretenders to me. And people be like, man, you just hating. But no, I just don't. I don't see it. I don't know what it is. I haven't figured it out yet, but it's just something about this team that worries me when they get to the postseason in Miami. And I just can't figure it. To me, they don't look like a team that's on fire. They look like a team that's making it. I don't know if that makes sense to a lot. I know that makes sense to you, but I don't know if that makes sense to a lot of people out there. They look like a team that's making it. And the fact that I believe that the Cowboys are a better team than Miami says a lot. So to me, it seems like Miami is just making it. And they're riding high off of Tyreek Hill monster season. But
I apologize. I know you're on a rant of sorts. I didn't even see this story until it just popped up on my phone. Through three quarters of basketball, Devin Booker has 51 points.
Oh, no, not another 70.
I just wanted to bring that up.
Not another 70.
Hey, he on my fantasy team. I'll take all of it.
Not another 70.
But 51 through three quarters. But I'm with you.
Okay, Clay Jr.?
I'm with you as far as when you talk about the pretenders, except I disagree with you when it comes to Miami. Because we talked about this in the preseason, and we talked about the biggest X factor with Miami, with Denver, with Jacksonville, with the Vegas Raiders, was the new coaches and all this whatnot. The Miami Dolphins have the best new coach of all of them. Granted, yes, Doug Peterson is a Super Bowl winning coach, but Jacksonville is still under 500.
Oh, no, that's not what I was going to say.
But no, yeah. I'm just
Yeah.
But Miami is damn near in first place in their division. And remember where they were last year with Brian Flores, who didn't even want Tua as their quarterback. All of a sudden, you bring in a guy from the Kyle Shanahan tree, who, by the way, they play this week. Kyle Shanahan versus Mike McDaniel, same coaching staff. It's going to be a very compelling game. Also, Raheem Mostert and Jeff Wilson going back to San Francisco. A lot of compelling stories in that game, but we'll talk about that in a later day. But for Miami to do what they're currently doing,
it's not impressive to me.
Okay, I understand. And I understand why you're leaning that way, mostly probably because of schedule.
Not even because of schedule.
I like it because I'm a big fan of it because I watched a coach come in, take their quarterback, maximize their quarterback, surround their quarterback with what they need to be successful, and look what's happening. Like, they played a game against Baltimore, against Lamar Jackson, one of the hottest quarterbacks in football at the beginning of the season. And they fucking threw the ball over the fucking yard.
Yeah.
That's a big deal to me.
I mean, it was a big deal, but now as the season progresses.
That's why I think this game Sunday is such a big deal.
I mean,
because if Miami goes out and beats San Francisco, I don't think there's anything else you can say about Miami.
I think my whole thing is it's kind of like no, that's probably a bad example. You know what? Fuck that. I'm gonna still use it anyway. And the reason why I mean because you're comparing coach and I'm comparing the teams with the quarterbacks.
Fair enough.
Okay, so how about this? San Francisco back in what year San Francisco made the Super Bowl?
Shit, 3 years ago.
Not that. I mean, before that.
You don't, the, oh, well, you,
the,
you
Col- said, the Colin Kaepernick. Oh, what
well,
yeah.
You, well, the last one was the Jimmy G one that damn near happened. Kaepernick was.
Was that 2012?
Yeah. 12. I was in Afghanistan. 12, 13.
Okay, so you don't, but a lot of people. I remember when Kaepernick took over, and the next day he came, and they went to the Super Bowl. They were like, "Look how good Colin Kaepernick is. You see that? This and that." Look how good. I mean, granted, they lost in the Super Bowl. I'm not trying to compare Miami to the San Francisco 49ers. But what I'm trying to compare is that people smoothly forgot that this was already a good team because Alex Smith had them in the NFC East Championship the year before, right?
Yeah.
And they lost, and then Colin Kaepernick came.
100%.
Granted.
But it's not the first time we've seen Alex Smith do.
Well, right. But I'm just saying, granted, had Alex Smith come back and they had not stuck with Colin Kaepernick, he probably would have got to the Super Bowl too with that team. So
I don't entirely agree.
You say that now.
Because the only reason I say that is because some of the playoff games, not regular playoff games that Colin Kaepernick had, I do not think Alex Smith replicates that.
Okay, fine. But I'm saying they were in the NFC Championship.
Yes, 100%.
And maybe the result is not going to the Super Bowl, but the result was maybe a one game freaking improvement. Whatever.
Sure.
So
if that one game is a Super Bowl, I'm with it.
I believe in my mind, had Alex Smith come back, they would have still gotten to the Super Bowl. I've always said that.
Okay.
So
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just given those two quarterbacks. I'm not gonna take away from what Colin Kaepernick did because he did some amazing things in the playoffs.
I didn't think Colin Kaepernick was that much better than Alex Smith. I never said that.
I just said the playoff run. Because what he did with his legs, Alex Smith cannot do.
But also, they improved on offense the next year.
Yes.
Because they did upgrade on offense. That was the year they added
Crabtree?
I think Crabtree was there the year. Was he? He wasn't. Okay, so.
Nope.
Well, Richard Sherman said Crabtree was sorry, so I just have
we know. But no, Crabtree wasn't there.
All I'm saying is, if Miami is real, that's cool or whatever. But the way you're hyping up their coach now, I mean, Flores was their coach last year.
Yes,
and we've already been inside the investigation. Who's to say they weren't already this good last year and they didn't do anything other than start Tua?
Well, let's play this. I'm going to play devil's advocate in this scenario. It goes back to what Colin Cowherd always talks about. And it's defensive head coaches versus offensive head coaches. Brian Flores, we know. First of all, let me clarify this. I love Brian Flores as a coach. I wish he would have never left New England. I wish he would have stayed. But he is a defensive coach. Mike McDaniel is an offensive coach. When you have a quarterback like Tua, Tua is not going to flourish with a defensive coach. Just like Justin Fields is not going to flourish with a defensive coach. Just like a lot of other quarterbacks that should be really good are not going to flourish. Look, prime. Let me give you one of the better examples is look at Trevor Lawrence. You had Urban Meyer and you had Doug Peterson, who played quarterback in the NFL.
Yes, Doug Peterson was pretty good.
And now look at Trevor Lawrence. You see what I'm going? Now, I'm not saying that Urban Meyer is a bad coach. I'm saying Urban Meyer is a bad NFL coach.
Yeah, but Urban
Meyer is a great – he's a legendary – legendary. Fuck the boy. He is a legendary college coach.
Urban Meyer is a bad coach.
He is.
For the NFL.
He's a terrible – just like Nick Saban. They're bad NFL coaches.
So let me ask you this then.
Go ahead. What you got?
Since you bring that up, outside of Andy Reid.
Okay.
And maybe Doug Peterson.
Okay.
Doug Peterson's pretty much an offensive head coach.
Yes.
20 years, name your offensive head coaches who've won it all.
Offensive coaches who've won it all.
Offensive head coaches who won it all.
Sean McVay.
Okay.
That's one for sure. I don't know what to call Pete Carroll because Pete Carroll's kind of a hybrid. He's a good offensive play. His offense is just kind of stale, but it won Seattle a Super Bowl. So,
but it won a Super Bowl with the Legion of Boom because the next year when they were pass heavy,
I understand what you're saying. But
Pete Carroll is known for defense. You're
asking,
we know this.
But you're also asking me a question, and knowing what I know about Pete Carroll at USC, that offense was fucking phenomenal. Now they had a great defense.
The defense is equally matched.
It is. But it's because I think Pete Carroll is that hybrid coach.
Yeah, well,
because he did have an offense. He did have a good offense.
Well, Pete Carroll is the rare.
Sean Payton is another one.
Pete Carroll, but
no. High scoring offenses.
I wasn't gonna say nothing about Sean Payton being an offensive head coach.
Gary Kubiak.
When did Gary Kubiak win as a head coach? The Super Bowl as a head coach.
Was it not with the Denver Broncos?
He wasn't the head coach of the Denver Broncos. He was the offensive coordinator of the Denver Broncos.
Was that fucking
John Fox was the head coach of the Broncos.
No shit.
And John Fox is a defensive coach.
Yeah. I don't know why I thought Kubiak was the
Kubiak was the offensive coordinator that year.
Fair enough.
I remember that. I definitely remember that one.
I will gladly take my L in that particular situation. Those are the ones that come to mind.
I mean, I'm just saying the point. I'm not saying you can't win with an offensive-minded head coach, but we all know defense wins championships.
We do. We know this 100% because the New England Patriots have already done this and proved this. We know this.
Oh,
because they have one of the greatest head coaches of all time.
All I'm saying is you have to have legendary offense.
So what would you have called? What would you call Mike Tomlin?
Oh, Mike Tomlin leads with defense. We know this.
I'm just asking
because he's from the tree of Bill Cowher, and Bill Cowher always they were called the Iron Curtain for a reason for years, even after they won in the 70s.
Same could be said about Tony Dungy. You think he's more of a defense or offensive coach? Because he won a Super Bowl too. I just wanted to ask. Same could be said about John Gruden.
I think John Gruden was a great defensive coach and a bad offensive coach. I've always thought that. Always. He's always had a good offensive coordinator.
Because we know the usual suspects. We know your Lovie Smiths. Like, we know those guys. Those are defensive coaches. Like, there's no question.
All I'm saying, when you talk about contenders and pretenders, you talk about teams that you think. I'm not saying they're not good playoff contenders.
But you think Miami is a pretender when it comes to Super Bowl teams?
Yeah.
Fine. I won't argue that. I won't argue that because I have no. Because here's why I won't argue that. Mike McDaniel as a head coach has zero track record in the playoffs. He's got to earn his stripes. Only reason I push back a wee bit. At one point, Sean McVay was in the same boat. Sean McVay made it to the Super Bowl and lost to a very much more experienced coach than him. That is the only reason why he lost. Here's why I say, if he played any other team that was not Bill Belichick, they win that Super Bowl because that offense was unfucking stoppable.
Who did the Patriots beat that year to go to the Super Bowl?
Damn.
Oh, no. You know what? Screw all that.
Didn't they beat the Chiefs?
Yeah, they beat the Chiefs.
Oh,
that was the year it went to overtime.
And that was the year that the Chiefs had the fucking Rams, they lost. The Rams beat the Chiefs in that high-ass scoring game.
Okay, screw all that. Let me tell you why I say screw all that. Because you know, and I know, the year the Rams went to the Super Bowl, it was the biggest missed call of all time. And it wasn't even
the New Orleans Saints game,
bruh. And you know how much I hate the freaking New Orleans Saints. You of all people know how much I hate them more than I hate the Cowboys.
But I mean, at the same time, they got a little payback when that Minnesota thing happened with Stephon Diggs. That shit was beautiful.
Yes.
But I understand what you're saying, 100%.
But I'm just saying, you know.
But
I'm not saying that the Rams might not win that game, but I'm saying, bro, they gave it to the Rams too early in the clock.
Yes,
they did, and it was trash that the game had to really. And you know, I'm one of those where it's like, well, the game wasn't decided on one, but something as obvious as that, it robbed the Saints of having a chance to win that game.
Yes, and that part,
and I hate the Saints. You know, I love when Stephon Diggs broke
their
heart.
Yeah, no, Dick, listen, I hate certain teams. I don't like teams being, I guess, cheated. I don't even know if cheated is the right word because it was a blown call.
That's what, it's not even a missed call. It's a blown call. You're absolutely
right. It's a blown
right.
call. So I'm like, how do you say cheated? Or what is the word? It's a blown call.
And the reason why it's a blown call is because they tried to say the ball was uncatchable. But he never had a chance to make the throw on the ball because he got pushed before the ball was thrown.
Got it. I don't like games being decided off of controversial calls like that. And it sounds stupid coming from a Patriots fan. Say what you want. I understand. Tuck rule. Say what you want. I'm with it. Do your thing. You have your own opinion. The rule is the rule. It is what it is.
No, but you know what? Here's the thing about the tuck rule, though. And a lot of people be like, no, this and that. It was a fuck me. You know what? But the tuck rule was a call that was left up to interpretation.
Just like a lot of rules.
Right. This one was...
Except for pass interference.
Yeah.
Pass interference, to me, the only interpretation that should exist, because you can't tell me, I deem that ball uncatchable. These grown-ass receiving men have 40-inch verticals. Miss me with that bullshit.
Exactly what I'm saying. So, like, it was interpretation.
So, this is why I agreed with Bill Belichick when he said, certain missed calls should be challengeable, and I think pass interference is one of them. Because and this is up to the coach. Remember, coaches only have like two challenges a game. But if on a third and four, which you're gonna play that game, I throw a deep ball, and it's obvious. The corner grabs the receiver's arm, pins that bitch to his body to where he only can go up one hand. That's an obvious missed PI. There's always, we've seen it, we watch enough football games, those 50-50 PI calls where it's like, I can see why they let it go. That's where coaches are going to lose.
Great example of that is New Orleans versus, like, was it Minnesota with Adam Thielen with the catch in the back of the end zone.
Yes.
That's a good
My thing with PI, which is crazy, is I don't have a problem when the receiver and the defensive back are essentially hand fighting or fighting for position.
As long as nobody's holding or,
like,
yeah.
I kind of see that the same way I do in basketball. When you're fighting for position to get the guy behind you or get in front of him. But if you grab my arms when I'm trying to extend, it's PI. On the offensive side of it, if I push the defensive back to where I have created the separation that I didn't create with my legs, that's PI. Because if you didn't burn that corner, but you had to push off to create the separation, that's PI, my guy. I'm sorry. It is. Because if I have to put my hand in your chest and I'm, let's say I'm Mike Evans and I'm 6'5 and I'm guarding and I got a guy like a corner of the 6'2 and I push off him, I have created separation. I have essentially gained an advantage because I'm already 6'5".
And by the way, to the Saints fans out there, like, well, Adam Thielen extended. Well, Adam Thielen extended his arm out because this dude was holding onto his arm the whole time. He threw his arm out and caught the ball with one hand. Yeah. I don't want to hear that bullshit.
If you, as a defensive back, are grabbing my arm as a receiver and I knock your ass on the ground, I don't see that as a PI.
No.
Because you started it. You grab outside of 5 yards, if you grab my arm, I should be able to knock your ass on the ground.
Yeah.
I'm just being honest. Like, I'm just being 100% honest. But that goes for both sides. As a receiver, if we get past 5 yards and I grab you as the corner, you should be able to sling my dumb ass to the ground. That's just me. Obviously, that's not the way the NFL sees it. And that's cool. That's, you know, that's their thing. But I'm just saying, that's how I see it. Because outside of 5 yards, it's solely technique at that point. If you slow, you slow.
You know what? Back to the original point. I think the Vikings should be ranked over the Dolphins, but that's just me.
I'm not gonna argue that.
I think the Vikings should be ranked over the Dolphins.
I'd love to see what happens if those teams play each other, because that's another coin flip, just like it is for Buffalo and Miami. Flip a coin. Either one of those teams could be above or below each other. I'd like to see them play each other to, you know, let them sort it out the old school.
Even though the Vikings got a beat down in Dallas, I don't think that'll happen again. I think they just got punched in the mouth and didn't know how to respond. The Vikings hadn't seen a defense that good all year, so yeah.
I'm with that.
Michael Parsons, Leighton Van Der Esch, and them boy, they balled out. That the defense really balled out that day and gave the offense short fields. And for once in his life, Dak Prescott took fucking advantage of a short field.
Oh, you mean he did his job as a high-paid quarterback?
Yes.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. He made his money that one day. Yes, he did.
Are we about to kill this bottle?
Oh, yeah, we got to.
Okay. I got about yay much left. Yeah, so, man. You know. You top off, and I'm going to top off, and this bottle's done. All actually, right. You just topped that off, and we damn near got the same.
Damn. Okay.
Hey, we talked about killing this bottle. So let's because the reason why I wanted you to pour that up, I told you I had a surprise segment.
Yes.
So I am officially going to take over the shout-out segment.
Go on, do your thing.
So I got an email today from Spotify.
Wait, you know what? Go ahead. Real quick. You're going to take over shout-outs, but I'm going to just give one. Shout-out to my brother Jay. His birthday was yesterday. My dog. November 29th.
Happy motherfucking birthday.
Let me get it one time. Biv. Hold up.
God damn it. Absolutely. To the youngest, second youngest member, really, of LXG now, because Ivan is the youngest.
Yep.
Happy birthday, my guy. Well, happy belated birthday. We talked to you on your birthday, but happy belated birthday because we're recording the podcast after the fact.
Yep.
I hope you turn the fuck up this weekend. I wish I was able to turn up with you, but family calls.
There you go.
That's just what it is. But we're going to make up. We're going to make it up. I got plenty of bottles here, so you know I'm going to make it up for you. Mm. So, in the words of Jamie Foxx, I'm going to make it do what it do, baby.
I'm going to make it do what it do, baby. Yeah.
But, like I said, we taking over. I, Mr. GQ, am going to take over the shout-outs portion of this. We have been drinking this entire night these glorious margarita wine cocktail style drinks. Today we are drinking the blood orange hibiscus. And yes, I got this at our favorite fucking place, our local HEB.
Here, everything's better.
Let's get that shout out one time for the one time. All right. So I got an email from Spotify. And all of you that have Spotify, you got a similar email. But if you have a podcast, you also got a separate email. So I got our 2022 Wrapped. Basically what it is, they took Gentleman's Talk and they decided to break it down for us and tell us everything we wanted to know about the podcast to this point. So, starting at the very beginning, we created 2,391 minutes of new content, more than 94% of other creators in our category.
Damn.
Yes, sir. So, the most streamed episode to this day is still the introductory episode of Gentleman's Talk. 781% more streams than our average episode. So, for some reason, whatever the fuck we did in the very first episode was the perfect formula.
I don't know.
I don't know either, because I feel like what we're doing now is even better, but the listeners have spoken. Based solely on that. Our podcast is heard in four countries.
That's beautiful.
Our top three are the U.S., Sweden, and Australia. The
fourth, Sweden?
The fourth is Saudi Arabia, for those who are asking.
Wait a minute. Sweden?
Sweden.
What's up, the Swedish?
Hey, we got three continents. That's all I'm saying.
That's all I'm saying, yeah.
So, wait. Four?
I mean, outside of USA.
No. Sweden and... Well, I'm counting U.S., but okay. Isn't Sweden and Saudi Arabia in two different continents?
Oh, you said continents.
Continents, because Australia is its own.
Yeah, because Sweden is in Europe.
Yeah. Saudi Arabia... Well, Saudi Arabia's in Europe, too, is it? Wait, is Sweden in the UK? Or is it more Asia or is it more Europe? Either way, we at least in three continents. Fuck the bullshit.
All
right.
Europe is on the front side with London and all that. Yeah. I think Sweden would be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we're going to say three. Yeah. Whatever. So something magical happened between April 10th and April 16th. You know what happened. I know what happened. We ain't got to talk about it. But we had 422% more listeners compared to our average week.
I know exactly what happened.
There was a couple of controversial episodes.
I know exactly what happened.
So this is the one. I have been wanting to share this shit all fucking day, but I had to hold my tongue because I didn't want to spoil it for you. Your podcast was in the top 20% most shared globally.
Boom! That's what I'm talking about.
Our listeners, this came directly from our listeners, 65% from a direct link, 22% from Facebook, 6% from other platforms, 5% from Instagram, and 2% from text.
Wow.
People texting the link, whether it's via Anchor, via Spotify, via Apple Podcasts, via Amazon Music.
And this is just Spotify by itself.
This is just Spotify telling us these things.
That's beautiful.
Our listener podcast personality is the devotee. For those who don't know what the devotee means.
Yeah, Dave, please explain it for the people.
When your fans love a podcast, they really love it. They're quick to support new releases and play their favorite episodes over and over. Your listeners scored your podcast a 5. This is why we have a 5-star rating as a show.
Okay.
So, you're a top 10 podcast for 28 of your fans. You're a top 5 podcast for 24 of your fans. You're the number one podcast for 11 of your fans.
Let me ask y'all a question real quick, you know, just to grab your attention. Who are the ones that are out there? Because we definitely know John L.
We know the normal.
We know John L. We know Ivan.
We know the normal 7.
I'm pretty sure John, because John heard our podcast once. John was like, yo, that hoe go down. So I wouldn't know who that's 4 of them. I wouldn't know who the other.
So let's play this game. If you have been a fan of the show, now we know, I know a few of you guys as well. What I want you guys to do is hit us up.
Yes.
Hit us in the DMs, whatever. Like, I want to know the rest of you. Because I would love to, I would love nothing more than to shout you out.
And you know,
because
what?
If you have been listening to the show, as it clearly shows you've been listening to the show, we shout out our listeners.
Yes.
If you give us feedback, I absolutely have no problem dropping your government name on this motherfucker one time for the one time.
Or whatever name you want to go by.
Whatever name you want to go by, I'll have no problem dropping that name for you.
Real quick, as we're talking about this, shout out to everybody that has been in and out on Gentleman's Lounge. Shout out to Big Homie for coming coming in and out on the show.
Big Homie.
Shout out to my boy John L. for
John
coming
L.
in on the show, being a supporter every week.
Big IV.
Big IV. My boy Lundo.
Lundo.
Jiggy.
Jiggy
Sarge, man.
Too
hey.
Fresh.
Yeah, of course, feel me in my zone.
Like
the creator of
DJ Primetime for coming in doing our inaugural WWE show.
Oh, we're going to get another one coming quick.
So,
especially after War Games.
Yeah, so 100% shout out to every single one of our listeners who really have been a part, whether it's via interview, being live and in studio, because we've
or just been interacting.
Well, because we've been able to see see you and really get to know you. But then to the listeners who are just out there listening just to be listening, you know, we appreciate y'all as well.
Yes.
Because without you guys, This 2022 warp don't exist.
Like, yeah,
you
know, man, this thing started with just
some shit that me and
two friends. You know
yeah,
what I'm saying?
Like,
just like
we
you
been,
know what? We've been bullshitting. Let's start a podcast.
Yeah, like we've been doing this since college.
Yeah.
We've literally been bullshitting about this since college.
Yeah.
So to wrap that particular part of it up, we have 36 episodes, 2.3 thousand minutes, and we're heard in four countries. Ladies and gentlemen, that is Gentleman's Talk. 2022 warped.
And it ain't even done yet.
It ain't. So I'm looking forward to what our end of year looks like.
Oh, yeah.
So, four seasons in, we've had a lot of interviews. We've really gotten off with the fact that we can do this in three separate style things.
Yep.
Because we've got the podcast, we've obviously got the Gentleman's Lounge, and we got Brews and Cues.
Yeah.
So we're able to do this three ways and get all this information out to you guys. Shout out to one of my closest people in my life. You know him as well. My man Drew Lopez. So I got to bring that up. I say my man, it's like my brother too, just like my man DJ Michael B. Crosby. We had our Friendsgiving last week.
Okay.
And you know, he's a police officer for a county that we'll leave unnamed cuz I don't want to put that man's business out there like
correct.
That. But something he brought to my attention. He was like, "Bro, I listen to your podcast. I'm like three episodes behind, but I listen on the regular."
That was crazy.
So what he said, which really resonated, was like, the biggest thing I love about y'all's show is when y'all talk about the non-sports stuff, because it shows the versatility and the diversity of the show. Because, yeah, you guys could probably talk sports for hours, but when y'all start talking about music and y'all start talking about like pop culture and y'all start deviating from like just sports talk, it's like, that shit's even more attention grabbing than just, you know, the normal sports stuff. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like Gentlemen's Talking.
That does.
Because we talk about a little bit of everything. Now, I understand, ladies and gentlemen, for those who are out there listening, you hear a lot of sports talk from us. Well, the NBA and the NFL are kind of really, really jumping the fuck off.
Yeah.
Speaking of shout outs, this is very important. Shout out to the U.S. men's soccer team, guys.
Yes, sir. Woo! What's up, World Cup, baby?
Sorry.
Let's go, man.
I had to get that out of my system one time. I've been holding that one in. Like that
hey, you know, USA.
Hey, USA. That was a big one. All right, listen. Something
nah,
about.
Nah, nah, nah. Hey. Goodbye. Iran had to learn the hard way.
Nah, they learned for the second and third time. Something about the U.S. versus Iran and us losing just don't seem to mix.
No, it don't.
I said what I said. Read your history books, ladies and gentlemen. Anywho. So shout out to the men's U.S. team for doing what we needed them to do. By the way, if you don't watch soccer, it's okay. I'm going to educate you just a little bit. This is the youngest World Cup team the U.S. has ever put out. We are the second youngest team in the World Cup. So listen to me when I say this. The U.S. is playing with house money. And in my opinion, as a sports fan, nothing is more dangerous than a team that's playing sports with house money. Yes. I'm not sitting here telling you that the U.S. men are going to win the World Cup. But what I am telling you is this part right here. Everything that the U.S. men's team is doing right now is building for the next World Cup.
Oh, hell yeah.
Because any and all experience that we get, because mind you.
By the way, where's the next World Cup?
Here in Tejas, Texas. Anywho, because if you guys have been watching the World Cup like a lot of us have, Mexico got knocked out.
Yeah.
That's a big deal. Mexico was actually a really good team. Mexico was a really good World Cup team. I was surprised that they got knocked out. I was not okay with that, actually. I love watching Mexico in the World Cup.
I actually was surprised that USA pulled a draw against
Wales?
Yes.
Against Wales, yes. I thought we beat Wales. England, I'm not entirely surprised by, because England, it's mind you, the greatest thing about that is we have still never lost to England. We won and we drew. We've never lost.
Yep.
We beat them in 1950. So for you history buffs, we beat them in 1950 and we had a draw against them in 2010. There's your history lesson. And we had a draw against them in 2022. There you go. We have yet to lose, because we don't lose to England. Read your history books, folks. I said what I said.
The English don't like us, now, so I'm cool with that.
Now, our first round matchup is rough, because we did draw the Netherlands. And you and I, being World Cup guys who watch the World Cup, we already know the Netherlands is a pretty damn good
World Cup. The Netherlands is one of those teams. It's kind of, you know, if you're watching college football and you hear USC, or you hear, damn it, Alabama, Ohio State.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? It's just one of those teams where you, like, you always expect this team to be somewhere in the mix and very good. And that's exactly what the Netherlands are.
You know, no. I think I got the comparison. The Netherlands are like Michigan. They're always there, but they can either be down or they can be really, really good.
Yep.
And Michigan is like that in college football. They're always really, really good, or they're like kind of just there. The Netherlands is really like Michigan. They're very consistent.
Yeah.
And that's not a good first round draw for us.
That's what I'm saying. They're just a good team regardless. But
if we beat the Netherlands, that says more about us than it does about the Netherlands.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it goes. I'll be tuned in. I'll be watching, because I'm curious. I don't watch a lot of soccer, but when I do, boy, I watch the World Cup. Not even gonna say a lot. I will sit my happy ass down and watch my 90 minutes.
Damn right.
Or 106 minutes, or however long the plus minutes go.
Whatever it is, however long the stoppage is, because it's not consistent.
It's hell no. That's why I was shocked when Mexico lost. You know, Mexico almost lost via yellow cards?
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me.
That's how close it was. It was about to come down to you. And I'm never a fan of that. The game should be decided by the play on the field, never by the officials. I'm not with that. It should always come down, whether it's penalty kicks, whatever the case might be. Just like, I also feel like there should be no ties in the NFL. You play until a winner happens. Period. So here's how I would finalize the NFL's overtime shit. You play through that first overtime, and it's a tie game. The second overtime is sudden death. Done with it. There should be no ties. Because at the end of the season, if I am 11-5-1, that's not a good record.
I'm a fan, I just don't like it. And people might think whatever, but
college.
Doesn't college just have the extra? I am.
College keeps going until somebody wins.
Yeah. So I'm a fan of the game ends 20-20. This team gets a possession. If this team scores a touchdown, the first team to score a touchdown has to kick a field goal. If they kick a field goal and the second team scores a touchdown, or if the second team doesn't score a touchdown, they lose the game. If they score a touchdown and they go for two and score, they should win the game, because the first team that scores has the option to go for two or kick the field goal. So if they go for two and they make it, the second team that gets the ball, they have to tie the game to keep the game going. You have to match score to keep the game going. That's how I've always been a fan of that format more than a...
So what you're saying is, like, for the sake of discussion, if the first team kicks a field goal, but the second team scores a touchdown, they should win.
Yeah, even that, yeah, even that too. Yes.
Well,
yeah.
Because you, I'm just going. Yeah, you yeah, just
yeah,
said
yeah.
it.
If yeah.
They had the option,
right?
Choice to kick a field goal or go for the touchdown. So if the second team goes from the 20 and scores a touchdown, but they're ahead and score.
But what I'm also saying is if this first team goes and scores a touchdown and they opt to kick a field goal, fine.
Oh, kick the PAT.
Okay. Yeah, and they kick because I, to me the way they have it now where it's like if they kick a field goal and the next team gets possession, they score a touchdown, they win. So we're adding into that. Now, if the first team scores a touchdown and kicks a point attempt, all right, cool. And they make it, that's fine. But now if this team comes behind them and kicks the field goal and is like, you know what? We're going to go for the win and go for two. If they miss the two, they lose. If they don't get the two, they lose the game. If they score the two, they win the game. Because this team had the option to score first, stop them before they scored the touchdown, and then stop them again before they scored a two-point conversion. That's how I've always been. Now, if the first team goes for the two-point conversion, they score, and the second team goes for the two-point conversion, they score, they keep going.
Okay. I can live with that.
You just have the option to match the score.
I'm with that. That makes more sense. I'm cool with that.
I've never been a fan of the 15. Nigga, you had 60 minutes to win the damn game. That's how I've always been. Even in the NBA where it's like, well, we're going to add an extra 6 minutes to the game. You had 60 minutes to win the goddamn game.
Even in the NBA, they play, you know, however many, you know, half a quarter.
Yeah.
Even if they got to play multiple half a quarter.
I mean,
somebody's going to win.
Yeah. To me, it makes more sense in the NBA just to throw six minutes.
Well, yeah,
on the
because
score. Yeah.
Basketball scoring is different.
Yeah.
But I understand what you're saying, though, too. So,
yeah, I've always been a proponent of that. It's like, look, you score a two-point conversion, stop them from scoring a two-point conversion. Plain 100%. And simple.
All right, so let's close out the show with our prime time picks. Ooh. That's your hit, don't it?
Yeah.
So, in reverse order, because we haven't done this before.
No, we haven't.
We're going to start with the Monday night game. Buccaneers versus the Saints. The game is in Tampa Bay.
I hate division games.
I do too, but we got a couple of them.
I'm just not a believer in whoever the hell is playing quarterback for the Saints. I'm just not.
It's still Andy Dalton, the Red Rifle.
It
product
sucks.
Of Katy, Texas.
It sucks.
Oh, I'm sorry, Katy High School.
I did like Andy Dalton in high school and college, but he's not a good NFL. He had that one season in Cincinnati, but he had a couple of good seasons in Cincinnati.
Yeah, he had a couple.
He had that one season where he was magnificent and he got the concussion and he was out for the rest of the season. So that sucks. But Skip Bayless told me there's one man in football I should never bet against.
Oh, you mean that guy, TB12?
Yeah. I don't care if the article today said he's deteriorating. Okay, sure.
Sure, whatever.
He's balled out the past couple of weeks ever since the divorce got finalized, and I'm still rolling with Tom.
So we both got the Bucks in this game. That's what I gathered from all of the above.
Yes.
All right. Our Sunday night game, I can't quite figure out if it's compelling or not, but it kind of is. The Indianapolis Colts versus the Dallas Cowboys.
This is compelling just because it's the kind of dumbass game that the Cowboys could lose, dog.
100%. That is really and truly why I said it was compelling.
I don't know what to make of the Cowboys. One week, the Cowboys look like world beaters and this and that. And then the other week, they look like Stephen A. Smith and his accident waiting to happen. Where's this game being played?
In Dallas, in Jerry World.
I'm taking Dallas.
I mean, because clearly the Colts can't seem to control the clock with the clock expiring because Jeff Saturday is Jeff Saturday.
I feel bad for Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, so we're both going to take Dallas in this game.
People just stack the box.
I'm not even going to try to, like, do some stupid-ass analytics and come up with a reasoning why, but just know that Dallas
I just gave you the analytical reason why.
Like, I just feel like Dallas' defense is going to give Matt Ryan some serious problems.
They're going to stack the box on Jonathan Taylor and Matt Ryan, and that offensive line that Indianapolis has that is trash won't be able to contain.
Well, Michael Pittman, I hope you go for 300 yards receiving.
I didn't even play him this week. I know better.
And last but not least, and I'm glad I did this in reverse order because it's probably the most difficult game to pick
it
all
is.
Week long. It is the Buffalo Bills at the New England Patriots on Thursday Night Football. I have struggled with this game since I saw the schedule. Because I'm like, it's a division game. Yes, the Bills on paper are a better team than the New England Patriots. 100%. No, there's really no argument there. The problem is...
You can make the argument that the Patriots are better coached.
Oh, no, I'm not. Yeah, I'm not done with my analysis. I'm just saying what I said. On paper, the Bills are a better team. But schematically, that is not the case because Bill Belichick is always going to be the X factor in games like this. Josh Allen has had a really rough stretch of throwing interceptions in the red zone, which if that's the case, and New England's pass rush, which has been very good this year, by the way, at sacking the quarterback, can put just enough pressure on Josh Allen. He's going to throw a couple of those wonderful interceptions to the
Patriots.
One of my
problems with Josh Allen right now, he has declined so much throwing the ball under pressure.
Yes.
He's making hell. That was the very difference at the beginning of the season for Stephon Diggs and that offense and catching touchdown passes, that he was very good under pressure when teams brought 4 and 5. And everybody was in man coverage. He was making the right decisions. Now, I don't know if he's trying to do too much or what it is. I still got to take the Bills.
All right.
I still have to take the Bills.
It's hard. It's really hard. This is one of the hardest games I've had to pick all year. But give me New England by 3.
Of course.
I don't know. This game is being played in Foxborough. I don't know. I feel like New England plus 3 is not out of the realm of possibility.
Is that playing quarterback?
No. Mac Jones is. Attack. And the way our offense looked last week gave me enough optimism. Von Miller is not playing in this game, so maybe Ramondre Stevenson has a game of his goddamn life, and I'm cool with that too, you know. So we'll see. We'll cross that bridge when we get to it.
I think this is one of those. You remember how the Patriots and the Dolphins? No, Dolphins could be 0-7, but they play the Patriots, and they beat the Patriots by a freaking last minute field goal or something. This is the feel I get to this game. It's gonna be close. It's gonna be ugly. It's going to be a very gritty, grinded out game.
I haven't even looked at the weather for this game.
Yeah.
And I mean, yeah, it's only at this point, it'll be December 1st. I don't know if it's going to snow in Foxborough or not. I guess we'll find out. I should look at the weather. But either way, I'm sticking with New England plus 3.
Yeah. Well,
I'm actually debating between Nick Folk as my kicker in PPR or McPherson from Cincinnati. I'm actually debating about that as far as which kicker to start. Like, I picked up a second kicker, and I never do that. But I'm legitimately debating about which kicker I'd rather go with.
In PPR?
In PPR. It doesn't really – in PPR. Because the scoring –
Hey, you never know. You just
scoring,
never know.
Well, the scoring is the same. So believe it or not, in PPR, Nick Folk is a top 4 kicker. McPherson is number 8. So by ranking, I should, but – the problem is Cincinnati's playing Kansas City. High-scoring game, potentially, my opinion.
Yeah.
Probably one of the highest-scoring games of the weekend. Lots of PATs, lots of field goals, potentially. So do I just stick with McPherson? Or in a potentially low-scoring game in the Bills and Patriots, do I stick with a kicker who probably might score all the points? Like, this game could end fucking 9-3, and Nick Folk could have all 3 field goals. Like, some shit like that could happen. Because we've seen it before. Literally last season.
Yes, we have.
We saw it last year. You see where my dilemma is? Like, that's the shit I'm talking about.
But I don't know.
I think I'm still going to stick with the kicker with the upside. I think I'm still going to stick with McPherson, but we'll see. But anywho, ladies and gentlemen, that is the prime time picks for us.
Yeah.
Tune in this weekend to catch the remainder of our picks.
Brews.
And cues.
There it is.
So, if you've been catching up with it, if you've been keeping up with us on Brews and Cues, man, it's been getting better and better as time goes on. But, like I said, we closed out the show with our primetime picks. One more special shout-out to every single one of our listeners who listen to the show.
Yes, yes.
Because without you guys, we would not have gotten the 2022 Warped Report that we got from Spotify. And we love it. The feedback is great. Everything that I saw was great. It took a lot for me not to send every last one of those things to DJ Michael Beats. I was like, I'm going to hang on to it because I really want to put it on the show because it was that important to both of us and to you guys, the listeners. So we appreciate every single one of you guys for continuing to listen, for continuing to give us feedback, for continuing to be the great, phenomenal listeners that you are. Hopefully, as this season continues to progress, we have got more and more live in-studio individuals.
Yeah, this third mic thing is it's freaking amazing.
Yeah, no, big fan. So, going to continue to work on that for you guys, and we're going to continue to bring as much fresh and new content as we possibly can.
Oh, and of course, as you said earlier, just remember, we're going to get back to our off sports topics.
Yes, 100%.
I do have a real talk I'm going to talk about in the near future. I just want to... and it's going to be centered around a phrase that I have always hated on how it's rationalized. And we don't like to use the word on this, but there is this thing called what people say a real is.
Fair enough.
And we're going to explore that and talk about that because I got some battle rap quotes. I want to throw y'all away on that one. So
I'm with that because you already know how I feel when it comes to that particular phrase. Yes. Anyway, so that'll make for a really good discussion. Not a debate, but a discussion.
There you go.
So with that being said, like I said, I am the one that your baby mama changed the name in the phone to Little Caesars Hot and Ready because I'm always ready, Mr. GQ.
And I am your future baby mama's second baby daddy, DJ Micah B. The world to do what you can. If you love it, then fuck it, get through it. Mumble mentality activated. I waited for so long. And burdens I've outweighed. When you see me in my zone, you can bet I'm doing numbers. And my stock is going up because of my hunger. When you see me in my zone, I'm locked in, not clocked in. I'm never